93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, May 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Hawaii's Kilauea volcano erupted yesterday, sending lava shooting into the air in a residential neighborhood and prompting mandatory evacuation orders for nearby homes.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Hawaii County said steam and lava poured out of a crack in Leilani Estates, which is on the Big Island. Footage on television showed lava spurting into the sky from a crack in the road. Aerial drone footage showed a line of lava snaking through a forest. What sounded like rocks in a dryer, described by one resident, could be heard, and the smell of sulfur and burning trees filled the air. Lava fountains were shooting 150 feet in the air, and molten lava spread out over an area about 200 yards wide behind a house on the Big Island. The U.S. Geological Survey, Hawaii Volcanoes Observatory, told the Associated Press that there is quite a bit of magma in the volcano system. County, state, and federal officials had been warning residents all week that they should be prepared to evacuate, as the eruption would give little warning. The county has ordered evacuations for about 1,500 residents. Hawaii County Civil Defense Agency closed the area to visitors on Tuesday and ordered private tour companies to stop taking people into the region.
It's something that they're always aware of, something that they always deal with. Preston, you were on the Big Island, weren't you?
No, I never have been on the Big Island.
I went to the Big Island.
Maui and Oahu a few times.
So if you watch the Hawaii real estate shows that we like, you know that there are... They will rate the real estate in its likelihood of, and on the Big Island, of being in the path of a lava flow.
Yeah, you never hear, I mean, I wonder if there's ever the potential for like a, you
know, full-blown island killer
eruption.
Yeah, I wonder that myself. And maybe because it taps off this way. And
it keeps it from that.
Yeah, it keeps it from doing that. Yeah.
Well, when I heard this, I was like, why isn't everyone like, get them out of there? You know, but they
well,
said
it is that case, yeah.
It's in a residential neighborhood, you know? That's...
Well, they're casually, what happens is, and certain, you know, the lava will progress and it will close off a road. And then they do another road around it. And then, you know, so in their areas that are really closer to it, they deal with it. And real estate can be obviously a liability. But there's people who are just kind of deal with it. But to Preston's point, you know, about... It's never on the order of an island killer
that
that's like a Krakatoa.
Right. So what do they do? You know, like if there's a forest fire, then, you know, there's going to be crews out there. Do they do anything?
There's nothing you can do. Yeah, there's nothing you can do to stop its advance. I mean, I guess... Do they do anything?
You grab a Mai Tai and you sit back and you
enjoy
the view.
Steve, I remember seeing a story a few years back where they used to try to do something,
and
now they don't because it's a waste of resources.
Yeah.
So they just let it go and basically turn it over to nature.
Wow, that's crazy. So, yeah,
but the trade-off is they had Magnum P.I. living there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess so. Several suspects are being sought for the theft of over $100,000 worth of designer purses and handbags from the King of Prussia Mall. The bold thieves knew exactly what they were looking for and have stolen over 40 designer handbags, each valued between $2,500 and $5,000.
Noticed you left a little early, Kathy, yesterday.
Yeah. I'm like, where are these guys? Are they selling it for cheaper somewhere?
Right.
Police believe that they're working in a group and they typically run into the store, grab as many handbags as they can, and then run back out to a waiting car. So it's not like they're hiding this. I mean, they're going in, they're taking
very overt,
they're in plain clothes, they're not disguising their face. So this first happened on December 13th of last year. Police say one suspect ran into the store, put his arm through about 13 handbags, then sprinted out of the mall to a Chevy Camaro, which was believed to be a rental. Police believe the same suspect hit again on April 4th. They took $25,000 worth of handbags, and a getaway driver was waiting in a car right outside the door to the mall.
It's wild because I remember pulling up to the mall in that time frame and seeing someone who looked fabulous running out of the mall.
Hey, Kath, did they mention which stores got ripped off? Because I didn't see any names.
I didn't see it either. They're just saying high-end stores.
And I was curious because, I mean, like a lot of the high-end stores have store detectives.
Yes!
And they're right there. I mean, Louis Vuitton definitely does. And so do a lot of the jewelry stores. But
my guess is, and this is just a guess, but like Neiman Marcus, who they will have security. I don't know that they necessarily have it at the door outside to the mall.
It's also a much wider door. Like at Neiman Marcus, it's like a mall opening.
Right.
Whereas if you go to Louis Vuitton, it's a smaller doorway. So, but yeah, you're right. You're thinking with items, because especially like at Louis Vuitton, where like a a wallet will be $800.
I think all of that, most of that, you can't walk into Louis Vuitton and put your arm through 13 bags. Most of that stuff is, like, you know, locked away.
And at Louis Vuitton, I was there one day walking through the mall, and they had, like, a velvet rope thing.
I know what you're saying.
People waiting. They only let so many in at a time.
I was actually just going to say that. I saw
when did that,
that
start?
I saw that for the first time at the mall. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, there has to be some new bag that they just, you know, is out now. And I asked the security guard, and he's like, no, we only let
They think they're the Lego store.
Either that, no, Steve, it's like Studio 54.
I know.
You, not you.
Yeah.
Come on in.
That's what you consider a pocketbook?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So then on April 24th, police...
You in the superhero shirt. Go home.
They saw you. They're like, no way. So on April 24th, police say that that same suspect had help from a woman and another man. They got away with in an older model, white Buick, with 26 handbags valued at $62,000. This time, they say two people grabbed handbags while the third person threatened employees. Now, they're saying because they were threatening employees, it's seen more as a more serious criminal charge of robbery than just burglary.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone with information about this is asked to contact the Upper Merriam Township Police Department, and they've released pictures of these people, and it's pretty clear. All three pictures. Yeah. You can see their faces. You can see who they are.
Dude's wearing a Metallica shirt.
Mm-hmm.
A man posing as a DJ for a prominent pop singer gained access to Philadelphia High School for Creative and Performing Arts Thursday morning, videotaping students and gathering information about them under the guise of networking. Sources said a man calling himself a DJ Official Silent Assassin called the school saying that he was the DJ for Alicia Keys and that he wanted to come speak to the students.
Oh, Alicia Keys, come right over.
He arrived at the school Thursday morning with...
Attention, everyone. The DJ for Alicia Keys will be on campus today. Please show him every courtesy.
Listen, I don't want to talk bad about the district, but, I mean, that's kind of how it went down.
Right, right.
A student figured it out.
Kid in Play's pool boy will be on the campus today.
So he arrived at the school on Thursday morning with two men posing as security guards and two women with cameras. So he had other people with him.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So a student who remained anonymous actually spoke to 6ABC and she said she wanted to remain anonymous out of fear. She said, we sang for him. He talked to the students in a very low tone. We could barely understand him. We were told that he was the DJ for Alicia Keys, but it didn't seem like that was the case. The student said that the man was acting shady, so she decided to look him up on the internet. She soon discovered that his name was Jerez Coleman, a.k.a. Kid Cole or Stone Coleman, a man previously arrested for making threats against President Obama and the D.C. metro system.
Oh, Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Wasn't he on the MTV show, too?
Yep. Yeah. So, okay, Coleman was also featured on the MTV show Catfish, a show that depicted him pretending to be a well-known rapper in an effort to scam people for money. He was sentenced to 22 months in jail and forced to undergo a mental evaluation following the crimes, the threats against Obama and the metro system. The school district issued a statement yesterday saying school district staff improperly approved a school visit. This is unacceptable and will be dealt with accordingly.
You know, you joke about the Alicia Keys DJ dude compared to some of the stuff that I saw in school. That would have been a superstar.
Right, it would have been huge,
I mean, there were a few things that we had as far as assemblies went, and I'm like, are you seriously? Well, I mean, I know I'm missing class and everything, and this is great, but you really brought us in to see this.
Duck.
Exactly, similar to that.
Well, and this was a performing arts school, so you know what I mean? Anybody in that industry, you're like, okay, let's bring
Ladies and
in.
Gentlemen, Lil Yachty's orthodontist.
Lil Yachty.
See if we can get the River Valley Vocal Band in there.
Right. Yeah, we could,
Well, book us next. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers are coming back to Philly down 2-0 in their second round series against the Boston Celtics. Rookie Jason Tatum scored 21 points and hit a pair of free throws in the closing seconds, helping the Celtics come back from a 22-point deficit to beat the Sixers 108-103. Rozier added 20 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds as the Celtics improved to 6-0 at the Garden this postseason. In the history of their franchise, they have never blown a 2-0 lead, going 36-0. Game 3 is tomorrow night in South Philly, and tip-off is at 5 o'clock. In the other Eastern Conference series, LeBron James had 43 points and 14 assists. Kevin Love had 31 points and 11 rebounds, and the Cavaliers beat the Raptors 128-110 in Toronto to take a 2-0 lead in their second-round playoff series. Game 3 is tomorrow night in Cleveland. In the NHL playoff playoffs. The Penguins beat the Washington Capitals 3-1 to even that series at two games apiece. And in the Western Conference, the Nashville Predators beat the Winnipeg Jets 2-1, and that series is also even at two. The Phillies were off last night and open up a weekend series in Washington tonight against the Nationals. Nick Pivetta gets the start. Game time in D.C. is at 7:05, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yay!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. We got a lot of stuff planned for today. First of all, we have a $1,000 giveaway, birthday bucks, your last chance of the week, so listen up five times today. We will have that opportunity. We have our Word of the Week prize, big MMR 50th birthday prize pack, and that includes a lot of things from MMRQ to the birthday beer bash to $100 in the rock shop and a lot on top of it, so we will give that away. At the end of today's program, we have a couple of comedians stopping by today, too. So at Helium Comedy Club will be Beth Stelling, and she'll stop in around 8:20, and then Ralph Harris is going to be at Punchline, so he'll be in around 9, and then we have our friends from Primo's Hoagies here today. Yeah, so they're doing a meet and eat, and tomorrow is National Hoagie Day.
What?
And they're celebrating, yes, with $5.99 Primo Hoagie, Primo size Italian. They're big ones, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Turkey or ham and cheese hoagies all day for rewards members, so they'll come by today. I'll see if they have some giveaways that they're giving. In fact, yes, I do see we do have some giveaways.
May I step in here for a second? Because I think we're witness to a supreme act of courage on the part of Preston Elliott, who you were clearly hurting yesterday. You came in this morning. You've been wheezing and congested, clearly. Man, it sounds bad. Everyone, maybe, you sound terrible.
I maybe got 2 hours of sleep last night because what started off as throat and head congestion thing has now settled in my chest. It settled in last night. So I was up all night trying to expel all this stuff. So I was just coughing, wheezing all night long. And so, but you know,
I feel bad for you, man.
But the throat doesn't hurt. So that's mainly
steps.
That's why I called out sick on Thursday, because talking would have been too hard to do. But I feel like I've been hit by a truck. I feel like I ran a marathon. It's one of those things where the joints and the aches and pains and all that stuff.
Well, we sincerely say stay away from us.
Casey's definitely getting it. So.
Well, so that's, you know, I feel bad for you right now. But if I get sick, I am going to be
so pissed.
Mother effing pissed.
I know. I was aware of that. It's either come in and do the job or stay home and not get you guys sick. So Casey gave me his bottle of Purell. So every time I touch anything, I will use this and I will sanitize and I'll make sure that none of you guys get sick. Kath or Marissa, if we could get a tarp,
yes,
I could hang it over. And I could put it
you
over
need,
my...
Like a- bubble so
yeah that's what I mean. I won't be able to see you guys, but
that's
it's
fine.
Radio.
Yeah,
I don't need to see it.
Doesn't matter.
Marissa can bring that in and we'll lay it over the top of the mic. Here we go. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can't we set up a Zephyr in your house?
Let's see if this will work. Hang on here.
There you go.
All right. This is kind of like a
there you go. Very guard. Nice.
Is this better, Casey?
It's a little bit better, but now
I feel like it's a tunnel to me now.
No, I like that.
No, it's happening now.
There we go.
It's like the germs are building up inside that little bubble right now.
Right. And then when he takes it off, it's going to fly right in your face.
It looks like a blue meanie's running the show.
Mm. I kind of want to do the show like this.
Yeah.
I could try it. No. This is
no? Is it hot under there?
I'm sweating.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see my forehead.
Tarps don't help with that.
Anyway. I don't know. I was pretty proud of us yesterday. We did pretty good.
You guys did great. I listened to the David Akers interview. It was fantastic.
Yeah. You're so
good. I mean, I heard it just now. Oh, we're so good.
What'd you say?
He goes, we're so good.
No, you know what? It's hard when you're not here because we're off. We're all like, we kind of rely on you.
It throws off everything. Everyone plays a part on the show.
And
it becomes.
Don't need me.
No, we do. The dynamic shifts. You know, and that's then we always say that we're straight up honest. But I mean, there was no way, especially with the way you're sounding today, and today's the better side of what you had.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow.
We have to talk about poop stick again yesterday because we did that best of segment. So that
was poop knife.
The poop knife. Yeah.
Well, we're not done talking about poop because I got a story that not only Kathy sent me, but about 20 people sent me as well.
Oh,
that we're going to have to dive into here in a little bit. And it does involve poop.
Yes. And the crowd really loves that.
They love poop.
They love the poop.
So anyhow, why don't we go ahead and take a break, come back in a second. We'll get to the entertainment report and a stupid question, and we'll start some giveaways. We'll be back in just a second. It is Friday, so that's a good thing. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I got a whole lot of stuff to get to, so let's get right to the stupid question. I'm going to give away a, let me see, $100 cash card from Sergeant Scrap. Question I have for you this morning. A 2007 video of police arresting a University of Florida student gained media attention, and what phrase did he shout to the officers? 215-263-WMMR. A 2007 video of police arresting a University of Florida student gained media attention. What phrase did he shout to the officers? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Birthdays today on the May the 4th be with you.
Uh-huh.
Friday, May the 4th be with you. It is golfer Rory McIlroy's birthday today. He's a great golfer. He's Irish and just one. He's always finishing in the top of the pack.
Who's the guy with the rheumatoid arthritis?
That's Phil Mickelson.
There we go.
Yeah. Roy celebrating his 29th birthday. Very likable guy, great golfer.
He ran up the Art Museum steps when they were at Marion for the U.S. Open, and they gave the Phil's gave him a jersey. Yeah, so he spent a week in town for the U.S. Open.
That's cool. Is he the one who's married to?
He had a hot girlfriend, but I don't think he's married anymore.
Okay.
Mike Dirnt of Green Day, the bassist, is turning 46 years old today.
Dirnt.
He also does the backing vocals.
Does he?
Well, in the band.
That's him? Okay.
Yep. So he sings the harmonies. And just solid punk, kind of punk pop bass player. So 46 today. It's also from the world of rock music, Mick Mars' birthday for Motley Crue.
What's the story with him? Because he was literally shrinking.
Yeah.
He had a
yeah.
physical malady that was causing him to shrink.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything.
I'm okay.
I haven't heard anything about his health
God.
In a while. But, yeah, he was. He had some serious issues. Yeah. Not a handsome fellow. We're looking at a picture of him.
A horrible-looking guy.
Yep. But a solid guitarist and in one of the great metal bands of all time. And he's 67 today. Another guitarist's birthday today, Dick Dale. Yep, Miserloo is the name of this song that we're listening to, and you know this tune.
Classic surf sound, that's Dick Dale's signature.
Yep.
And but sadly, Dick Dale is kind of a dick.
Yeah, he is kind of a dick. Of course, this was used in the opening credits of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And that definitely helped it have a resurgence, and Pipeline was another one. He's known as the King of Surf Guitar, and he is 81 today. Anna Gasteyer, former Saturday Night Live cast member.
Super talented. She's on the Goldbergs. I think she's going to be on the new series, Schooled.
Nice.
As Brian Kalin's love interest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
She's 51 today. It's Lance Bass's birthday today.
Yeah. Whoa. Now you're talking.
In sync.
You know what? Now that time has marched on, I sort of have a warmer spot for NSYNC in my heart.
Totally.
Though I wanted them all to die horrible deaths initially.
I tell you where we had a lot of fun with them was at Beth Gardner's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Huge fan of NSYNC. Beth used to be
all
of
those boy bands.
Our video department. But when NSYNC came on, the whole wedding party went crazy. So he's 39 today. Will Arnett has a birthday as well.
Super talented.
Yeah, lots of great movies and TV shows. 30 Rock and Arrested Development being two of those shows.
One of the funniest pieces of video is that clip from the Human Giant comedy series where Aziz Ansari back to his room, who he believes to be one of the Olsen twins because he's wearing a mask on his face.
Oh, yeah.
And he has depraved sex with him in his room. It's hilarious.
So Will is 48 today. And then last birthday I saw, guy who has local connections, JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, is turning 29 years old today, former Flyer. And Nick was saying there's rumors he'd never know. He could be headed back to the team.
He's a free agent this summer, and he's going to make bank. He had a good season this past season for the Maple Leafs, and he may not re-sign with them. So who knows? Maybe come back and play Philly again.
Nice guy. JVR, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Let's see if we can get an answer to this. 2007 video of police arresting a University of Florida student gained media attention. What phrase did he shout to police? And I will go to Jill. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Jill, what was the phrase that he yelled?
Don't tase me, bro.
You got it.
Don't tase me, bro.
Hang on a second, Jill. You still have that song that was...
I just have the clip.
Don't tase me, bro.
I think you might have it, Casey.
We used to have it, too.
Don't tase me, bro.
bro.
It was to MC Hammer. You can't touch us.
Yes, that was it.
So hang on the line, Jill. We're going to get your information. We're going to set you up with a $100 cash card from Sergeant Scrap, the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal service company. Don't take crap for your scrap, and you can get the highest paid price paid on insulated wire guaranteed. SGT-scrap.com.
What was the situation that precipitated that?
I don't remember. He was interrupting a press conference or something like that.
Right.
And
don't tase me, bro.
It was hilarious, so that's
all. Don't tase me, bro.
All right, so Bill Cosby's wife, Camille, is calling for a criminal probe into the Philadelphia area prosecutors who helped convict her husband of three counts of aggravated indecent assault.
You can just, you know, leave it alone now.
She claims the case that could put the disgraced 80-year-old comedian in prison for the rest of his life was, quote, mob justice, not real justice, and a tragedy. And her written three-page statement is the first time that Camille has broken her silence since the jury found Bill, her husband of 54 years, guilty.
Now, she's a loyal wife. She's, however, she loves him, whatever the story is. She's going to come to his aid and defense.
So listen to this, though. She says, in part, I am publicly asking for a criminal investigation of that district attorney and his cohorts.
Huh.
This is a homogenous group of exploitative, corrupt people whose primary purpose is to advance themselves professionally and economically at the expense of Mr. Cosby's life.
And they were in that helicopter.
That's right. If they can do this to Mr. Cosby, they can do it to anyone.
All right. So help me out here. The first trial, was it the same exact thing as the last trial? Was he being
it was a retrial.
It was just an appeal, right?
Why was there a retrial? Because there was a hung jury the first time around.
Okay. Because to me, it seems like maybe they have to do a best of three. You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, you won one, we won the last one, and now we got to have a third one to break the tie.
So like or do it like tennis scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go to deuce, game.
Right. Because if you're found guilty, right, and then you can appeal, and then on the appeal, if you're found not guilty, you win. But it's like, wait a second.
Well, they're appealing this. Yeah. They're proceeding with an appeal
like
for this.
The playoffs, maybe they could do seven.
Yeah.
Best of seven. Yeah.
Well, that'll
and
take
then take it from here to another town and back. So
you can go
visiting
back
team, you jockey for home court advantage, but it's literally a court.
You could do like a local jury and then the jury they had last time, like out in the middle of the state.
Exactly, traveling juries.
Camille also stated that accuser Andrea Constand, who testified that Bill drugged and molested her at his home in 2004, was dishonest and that her testimony was riddled with contradictions. Meanwhile, Cosby and Roman Polanski were ousted from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences on Thursday. The board continues to encourage ethical standards that require members to uphold the Academy's values of respect for human dignity, a statement from the Academy read.
So they dumped Polanski.
Yeah, they did as well.
I'm surprised he was still in.
I know.
You obviously have to do a lot.
Yeah.
I love the movie Chinatown. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it has been sullied.
Yeah,
because of all this nonsense.
Hey, listen, I watched the Sixers game last night, and they were playing in the Boston Arena, Rock and Roll Part 2. I'm sorry, but a pedophile wrote that song. Convicted pedophile wrote that song.
A virulent pedophile.
And, you know, they're still celebrating it in Boston.
What do they say? Do you disassociate the art from the artist? Is that it? I know. Sometimes it's hard.
Well, every time I hear that song, that's the first thing I think of.
I never listen to my Hitler record collection.
No. You can't.
Because I just can't disassociate him from that. But he did some terrible things.
But he did a nice version of Send in the Clowns.
He did.
Steve,
he
remember?
Did. Yeah.
It's
on to your pair.
Yeah.
Send in the Clowns. Now.
Polanski fled the U.S. in 1978 after being charged with the statutory rape of a 13-year-old girl. He went on to win an Oscar in 2003 for his work in The Piani Player.
The good old Piani Player.
Also known as The Pianist. Black Panther reigns supreme at the 2018 MTV Movie and TV Awards. They have dropped, and Black Panther is leading the pack with 7 nominations. The Ryan Coogler-helmed Marvel blockbuster nabbed nods for Best Movie, Scene Stealer for Breakout Letitia Wright, and Best Villain for Michael B. Jordan's baddie Eric Killmonger.
And he was damn good as Killmonger.
I agree. Marvel's Avengers Infinity War was no slouch. It earned 3 nominations. On the television side, 13 Reasons Why and Riverdale are in the mix for the first time.
I'm a Riverdale fan.
With Archie and Veronica scoring a coveted Best Kiss nom, and Catherine Langford earning a nod as well. Stranger Things was the biggest winner on TV, earning 6 nominations overall. Tiffany Haddish is handing out the Golden Popcorn on Monday, June 18th at 9 p.m. Voting is live now on MTV.com. And I'll give you a quick rundown, like Best Movie category, Avengers Infinity War, Black Panther, Girls Trip, It, and Wonder Woman. That's okay. Pretty good category.
That is very good. Infinity War, so in the same year, well, yeah.
I got to go with Infinity War.
Yeah, now. Infinity War.
Me personally, but I have a feeling Black Panther will probably win. Best TV Show, 13 Reasons Why, Game of Thrones, Grown-ish, Riverdale, and Stranger Things.
Oh, okay, so where are you going? You're going with Game of Thrones, I'm assuming,
I mean, it's my favorite,
yeah.
But I think Stranger Things will win it, probably. Right. But I think that is definitely, Game of Thrones would be better. Best Hero, Chadwick Boseman, Emilia Clarke, Gal Gadot, Grant Gustin, who is The Flash.
Yes.
And Daisy Ridley from Star Wars The Last Jedi. I got to go with Gal, man.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot. And then Best Kiss, which is kind of a fun category. Jane the Virgin with Gina Rodriguez and Justin Baldoni.
Yes, our favorite couple.
Love, Simon, Nick Robinson, and Kynan Lonsdale?
Yeah, another one of your favorites, Preston.
Ready Player One, Olivia Cooke and Ty Sheridan.
You saw that one then?
I did, yeah.
All right.
Riverdale, which is Archie and Veronica. That's AJ Appa and Camille Mendez. And Stranger Things, that would be between Mike and Eleven kissing Finn and Finn Wolfhard and Millie Bobby Brown.
So that was sweet, whereas the other ones were erotic and seething with passion.
Yeah. All right, in the last category I'll read, and then tell me what you think of this. Best Villain.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Josh Brolin is Thanos.
Damn good.
Adam Driver is Kylo Ren in Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Good.
Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther, Eric Killmonger.
Damn good.
Aubrey Plaza in Legion.
Good.
And Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise in It.
Damn good.
Yeah.
Those are 3 really damn good ones.
I'm voting Pennywise on that one, yeah.
Okay.
As far as, you think Thanos? Okay.
Yeah. Because, he's going to destroy
it. Well, hang on, though. Did you see it?
Huh?
Did you see it?
Did you see the movie It?
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Infinity War. I was like, yeah, I was sitting next to you.
Of course, I'm right next to you, dummy.
No. So you know what? I can't vote.
All right.
You recuse yourself.
What about you guys?
Wow. You know what? Yes. Pennywise, great. However, Josh Brolin... Thanos is such a real character and such a nuanced character because of things that are portrayed. I don't want to give too much away, but you know what? Maybe it. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
Because Pennywise made at one point, actually a couple of points in the movie, but one point in particular, all the hair on my body stand up.
Right.
Even you saw the movie, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh man. In the garage.
All right, so
it was scary. Scary,
yeah.
Very scary.
And, well, also because that scene takes place in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
June 18th is when that will be out. So make your selections now.
Yes, hey, by the way, we got this.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. Don't tase me, bro.
Better late than never.
The best part is when it
don't tase me.
Gets to the breakdown. Which I think is right
don't
here.
Don't tase me, bro.
Wait.
Ow!
All right, a little throwback to 2007. All right, in a revealing new interview with the New York Times, Ryan Reynolds says that he has struggled with feelings of fear and anxiety for his entire life.
Ryan Reynolds?
You'd never guess that, right?
He's so self-possessed and
very confident.
Confident.
He said, I have anxiety. I always have had anxiety, both in the lighthearted, I'm anxious about this kind of thing, and I've been to the depths of the darker end of the spectrum, which is not fun. Referring to his early 20s as a real unhinged phase, he cops to self-medicating to deal with his issues. He said, I was partying and just trying to make myself vanish in some ways. So how does he deal with when he has to tackle one of his serious fears, which is talk show appearances? He said, when the curtain opens, I turn on this knucklehead. And he kind of takes over and goes away again once I walk off set. So he puts on this persona.
And then he goes home to Blake Lively.
He said, that's the great self-defense mechanism. I figure if you're going to jump off a cliff, you might as well fly. So he doesn't feel real when he's doing that stuff.
It's a little bit of an act. Yes, I understand that.
But he's great. You got to love it.
He is
so entertaining.
Deadpool 2 coming out in short order.
Yeah, that'll be out May 18th, by the way.
And we have a screen. You think we're going to have a screening case?
Yeah, it's going to be a weird one, though. Believe it or not, like, it's looking like it's going to be late afternoon.
Late afternoon?
Yeah, like a 4:30, and it's not going to be at our favorite place.
All right, well, anyhow.
It's okay, though. We'll
get in the theater, and we get to see the movie.
You guys see this video with him and Celine Dion? Deadpool? Yeah.
Not yet, yeah, no.
He put it up on, Ryan Reynolds did on his Instagram account yesterday. It's great.
All right. I got to see it. Kevin Hart had a major scare Thursday as his private plane burst a tire coming in to land at Boston Logan Airport. The comedian and actor shared video on Snapchat from the scene showing the damage to the plane wheels and firefighters who had to respond to the incident. We might have a clip of that.
Yes.
This is him responding. Here we go.
Your boy got angels on his back. I got real life angels on my back. Nancy, Annalie Hart, my mother, God. I'm protected. I truly believe it. I always have, but when things like this happen, it's confirmation. Confirmation. God is good, so is life.
Woo! Right, maybe the pilot had a hand in it, too. But the comedian was traveling with fellow comics Naeem Lynn and Spank Horton and stylist John Burgundy and posted a photo to Instagram showing the four of them squatting down by the plane's wing with hands clasped.
We had Naeem and Spank in here. Those are the Plastic Cup Boys.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
And the rubber is ripped right off. It's down to the rim on one of the tires.
It had already been a tough day for the ride-along star who learned that an old friend has been charged with attempting to blackmail him.
A former friend. So that with that video release or that footage it showed him with the other woman.
Yeah, Jonathan Jackson was charged with attempted extortion and extortion by threatening letter on Wednesday after shopping around and secretly recorded a sex tape of Hart sleeping with a woman in Las Vegas. I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. It was his former friend.
They've been friends for more than 15 years. And Jackson also played a co-starring role in Hart's comedy Think Like a Man 2.
What a bastard.
Shortly after the charges were announced, Hart had tweeted, "Mind blown, hurt, at a loss for words, and simply in complete disbelief at the moment." Jackson remains in custody on $100,000 bail after his Monday arrest. And prosecutors allege that Jackson tried to extort an undisclosed amount from Hart in August and then tried to sell the video to celebrity news websites.
And he's wearing a shirt here, Preston, that suggests he's a member of the Avengers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a flat-out lie.
He's extorto.
Italian journalist Marco Brancaccia has been officially charged with stalking Colin Firth's wife, Livia Firth. Brancaccia had an affair with Livia when she was separated for a brief time from Colin between 2015 and 2016.
May I just tell you how much I enjoy focaccia bread?
I love it as well. But police opened an investigation into the journalist after Livia had filed a police report in Italy accusing him of a frightening campaign of harassment that lasted several months.
Don't you love me anymore?
Police reportedly found abusive messages and emails on Brancaccia's phone. During the investigation, they said that we think that we have enough evidence. Otherwise, we would not have asked for a trial, according to the prosecutor.
And I love you.
If convicted, Brancaccia faces 5 years in jail. The 55-year-old has denied stalking Lydia, but
bunch of crap.
Apparently, they have some info. All right, this will make you sick.
Oh, good.
Kylie Jenner's social media game is hotter than ever, and according to a new report from Demarie Analytics,
is this going to be a dollar amount?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to believe it.
No.
You are not going to believe it.
This is a game that she's selling.
No. Listen to this. The 20-year-old mother of one.
Yeah.
Per post on her social media portfolio.
Per post on social media.
Makes $1 million.
What?
That's what it says.
No.
That's according to Demarie Analytics. Steve. If she posts.
Come on.
Steve just put his head on his microphone. He was so defeated.
If she makes one post, it's worth $1 million.
Oh, my God.
The high fee is based on her strong following and serious engagement levels.
She's got 108 million followers.
108 million
followers. Right? Isn't that what it says up there?
Yeah, back it on up.
And that's just one platform. Yeah. That's just Instagram, which maybe arguably for her is the most powerful. But they use Snapchat. They use Twitter.
She's basically getting a dollar a follower.
So, Kathy, she's in the third of the country range of followers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
About a third of the country population.
350 million.
Yeah.
And what... She doesn't do anything.
She has no discernible talent. Uh-huh. Her lips are fake.
Her beauty is fake.
Her ass is injected.
Yes.
Wow.
Her boobs are not real.
She's got lipstick.
Mm-hmm. She's got lipstick that looks like baby poop.
You know what this is? This is the American dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Has she ever done anything?
I have no idea. She slid out her mother's.
I don't think.
But like modeling. Like, was she like a.
No, but she's not old enough, you know, because like the Kardashians achieved this monstrous level when she was still pretty young, you know, still a teenager.
You're right. She was swept the same way Leo DiCaprio was pulled down by the Titanic.
Right.
That's. Yeah. She was just sucked along.
She was in the right place at the right time and rode those coattails and now makes $1 million a post.
And if you look at her prior to all the augmentation, that girl with that face would not be enjoying this level of celebrity.
No way.
Not $1 million a post.
No.
So I guess that's what you pay for your product placement with her Instagram post if you want to.
So she is what is considered in the jargon a major influencer.
Big time.
If she's using... Now, the case is, though, she more often than not is influencing her followers to use her own products.
Sure. Yeah, so, but I
remember when she talked about being bored with Snapchat's filters and their stock dropped by millions of dollars?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She's like, you remember that episode of The Twilight Zone where Bill Mumy's the kid who can make people disappear and controls
anything.
The world?
Yeah.
That's what this is like.
That's her.
Send him to the cornfield, Kylie.
So Kim Kardashian has 110 million followers on Instagram, and Kylie has 108 million.
Have fun driving to your retail job this morning.
Yeah. Jeez.
This is bizarre. Joshua James Corbett. The man convicted of breaking into Sandra Bullock's home in 2014 killed himself on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in his L.A. home after an hours-long standoff with police.
Okay, so he was a little...
certifiable. No one else was injured. Police were seeking...
That's because his Grubhub order was late.
They were seeking his arrest in connection to the Bullock case, and police found a letter in his home which read in part, "You could have had me today, however you choose other people over me. I'll be around, as you know. I love you."
To Sandy?
I'm assuming that's to Sandy, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now if you're Sandra Bullock and this happens, obviously there's a little bit of closure, but does a cold chill run over you because you knew how far he was willing to go?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would think the same thing, Steve, exactly. Two different emotions running there, as in, thank God this is over, but also how scary is it that people out there exist and could be coming after me?
Well, remember the Letterman stalker? She laid her head down on train tracks.
Yeah.
So somebody who's going to do that
Can
is going to do some other crazy stuff.
All right, a couple more stories here, and then we got to move along. Tina Fey learned that her Mean Girls musical was nominated for 12 Tonys in the middle of a workout. She said, "I was at the gym because fitness is my life." She was joking on the Today Show. "I was afraid to watch the nominations on TV, so my friend was with me, and he was scrolling through the internet. And as all this good news was raining down on us, I started crying. I cried in the middle of Equinox," she said. The remake of the 2004 hit debuted on Broadway back in April. She said, "I never cried over an Emmy or a Golden Globe, but," she said, "it must have meant more to me than I realized because I'm just so proud of this show and everyone involved." So
we have audio of her working out, Preston.
Okay.
"Just look at this muscle, man. Oh, God, it's so beautiful."
I guess her voice drops a little while she's working out.
It really does.
Really gets into it.
Honestly, I'm not sure, but I thought the initial reviews for Mean Girls were not all that good.
Mm. 12 nominations on this
year. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And then one last thing. The stomach-turning drama of The Handmaid's Tale won't be letting up anytime soon. The series has just been renewed for season 3 per Variety.
So you're a massive fan.
I love it.
How's season 2 shaping up?
I've only watched first 2 episodes, and it's effed.
So season 2 is created. It's not based on the original source material, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. They're going off into their own direction with it. So I'm excited about it.
And in this season 2, they're basically like Southern good old boys trying to foil a corrupt town sheriff, right?
No, that's Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh,
which is a little bit different than The Handmaid's Tale.
Similar.
There might be some similar themes. Well, yeah. There, but, yeah. You know. But listen, I had a friend who read Handmaid's Tale because he had heard about the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's an avid reader and one that I trust. He said it bored the living hell out of him. And I'm like, just watch the show. And he's like, okay, completely different. This is a much better.
Everyone I know who watches loves it.
Telling of it. So this means that Offred, who is Elizabeth Moss, and the rest of the Handmaids will have to deal with the with Gilead for yet another season. And the series just launched season 2.
Who plays Boss Hogg?
That is Benedict Cumberbatch. He has a cameo in there.
We're just good old boys.
That's right.
Never meaning no harm.
Yes. All right. We're ready for clips.
Yay.
On tonight's season finale.
Season finale.
I'm sorry, folks.
You are very sick.
I'm very sick.
You actually have a spittoon next to you.
I do. I'm spitting up everything that's coming out of my lungs. And I told you guys, I feel drunk.
Yes.
I haven't drank anything. I'm just that out of it. Okay. On tonight's season finale of the MacGyver reboot, we wait to see what happens when Mac tells the director of operations that he is quitting the Phoenix Foundation. In this clip, Lucas Till talks about playing modern-day MacGyver.
Mostly just fun, action, and kind of educational every now and then. Some of the stuff is debatable whether it would work, but some of the stuff actually does work on the show.
Damn it. Didn't go the first time.
The season 2 finale airs tonight at CBS on 8. Let's go to the next clip. Yet another 80s remake will be making headlines this weekend with Overboard coming out tonight. Things are not the same in this reboot, though, as Anna Faris will be playing the single-parent role that Kurt Russell had created 30 years ago, and Eugenio Debrez fills in for Goldie Hawn's as the rich, snobby yacht owner.
I don't like it.
In this clip, Anna Faris shares her thoughts on the character. Here we go.
I loved that this was a woman who wasn't driven by love. Like, she just needs to feed her family and keep a roof over their heads and sort of devises this delicious plan of revenge and then sort of finds herself softening and falling in love.
Thing sucks.
Overboard hits theaters today, by the way.
It's 30% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
You know, I love the original.
I do too.
An ultimate junk food movie. And that original, and I love Anna Faris, but the original succeeds on the chemistry between Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Mm-hmm. And those kids that they got were great.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's your entertainment report this morning. We have birthday bucks coming up in less than an hour. A chance for you to win $1,000 is happening shortly, so make sure you don't miss the opportunity. We have a couple of comedians stopping by. Beth Stelling is going to be here. Ralph Harris will be here. And tomorrow is National Hoagie Day.
Yes.
Our friends from Primo Hoagies will be here. We'll have some giveaways to do with that. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us this morning.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
Looking at a really cool picture on MMR's Instagram page of Pierre Robert and John Bon Jovi before the show started down on the event floor, just hanging out and talking. It was when Pierre was doing an interview with him, and it's such a cool shot. We had our 50th birthday party. The official. Now, listen, we're celebrating all year long.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a whole bunch going on, but this was one big step in that celebration.
Yeah, and that was the Bon Jovi concert last night and officially commemorating MMR's 50th birthday. So I didn't get to make it. Obviously, I was under the weather, but Steve, you went there, and Nick, you were there as well.
And Marissa,
Marissa came too, yeah.
And our special suite that we had for listeners that we gave those away. So it was. I heard it was great.
Well, I showed up. I was there about 5:45, and Pierre had been broadcasting, as was Jackson and Sarah, and Bill Weston was down there. Everyone was, you know, making their way down to the complex. And so there was a little VIP party for some people, and there was a suite. And the second you got there, it was just a really cool, chill vibe, and everyone was just thrilled that this was happening.
Steve, did you notice the number of people waiting outside, like the tailgating? And it was hot yesterday. Yeah,
but they were loving it.
It was a really good vibe in the parking lot. And, it was a sort of a mid-spring heat wave, but people seemed to be having a good time. And they were starting to line up to get in early.
Yeah.
It was hot, but it wasn't impressive.
It was
good. The humidity was great.
It was a nice breeze.
Did Gary Lauer come and find you guys?
I encountered Gary Lauer about 6 separate times.
Okay, me too. Really.
So when I rounded one corner, he's pulling the bag out of the garbage saying, "Welcome to my house."
house.
Yeah, did he remind you you were in his house?
I was in his house, but yes. he actually sent you good wishes. He was worried about you.
That was
but
nice.
Honestly, if you blink your eyes quickly, you'll start to see a strobe effect, and Gary Lauer will appear in it because he is all over that place. Yeah. But he's a working man. But it was the vibe was great. The people in the suite, I think all but one or two of them had ever been in a suite like that for an event. The suite was really great. Originally, we were joking it was going to be, you know, and you're looking at Bon Jovi's Taint.
Right.
But they really, they changed the position of it, so it was a really good vantage point. And, you know, Jackson and Sarah went up early. They brought, they did after the opening band. Or did they bring up that opening band?
They did, yeah. They entered the intro.
What was the name again? Because they did a really good job.
Get the Foxtrot and Get Down.
And the Get Down,
They
Thank
did
you.
A good job, man. They had, like, sort of a proper arena sound. And you got to imagine. This is a band that, you know, I don't know what level of venue they were playing, but they certainly aren't playing the Wells Fargo consistently.
Right.
And it was cool, and they really brought their A game. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. John spent some time with Pierre, which was the picture I was referencing, and we have a couple of clips.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to hear him.
So I'm going to play that. This is John and Pierre talking about the longevity of MMR.
We are here on the floor. The sound check has just ended, and we are here with John Bon Jovi. Good day, sir.
Good day, my brother.
Tonight's our 50th anniversary celebration for MMR.
That's great.
The passion of our listeners is why we're still able to be here. And much like, I think, a rock and roll band, I equate it to a train that left the station in 1968. Some fans have been there with us the whole time. Some have gotten on and off along the way. And I think you could say the same about Bon Jovi, right?
Sure, most definitely. I mean, you know the history that we have in this town. So from before the first record, 35 years ago, the history that I have in this town, we did our second album here, of course, the Soul Foundation, all the charitable works. And so a lot of people were there in the very beginning when we were playing in the nightclubs on South Street and got off along the way, and the Spectrum came and went, and Veterans Field came and went. You know, I mean, the buildings are gone, and MMR are still here, and Bon Jovi are still here.
Nice. I love it. He did give us a shout-out from the stage. I'll play that in a moment. But this is him, John, talking about radio and its importance.
Yes. And the inception of this band is unique because it was a DJ. You know, you are an anomaly, my friend. You know, I mean, in a world of computerized playlists of 12 songs with no real DJ, MMR, Pierre Robert, Philadelphia is a unique situation. And so, you know, it was a DJ who made Bon Jovi happen and got the record company to sign us. And so, you know, we know how important radio can and should be to the listener and to future generations of rock band.
Love hearing that.
I was actually going to ask about that comment. So I listened to the interview yesterday, and John was very genuine with Pierre. But when he said that it was a DJ, he was talking about Pierre?
No.
Okay, all right.
A guy that first gave them their shot was in another market, and I read about it not too long ago because I think they had him out to the... He gave him a shout-out at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Paul Barsky.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Paul Barsky. It was a guy that John had came in, and I think he had, gave him a record, and he spun it on the air for the
but
first time.
But in general, and as you pointed out, Preston, you had a little anecdotal story about handing a card over to
to John himself.
Yeah.
I had had Richie and David Bryan on my show early in the day. Bon Jovi was playing that night. I met John at the show, and I handed him a business card to get an autograph. It was the only thing I had, and I'm like, here, would you sign this? So he signs it, and he flips it over, and he saw that I was a music director at a radio station, and he wanted to thank me for playing the record. And he says, you know, we can't do this without radio support and all this stuff. He's always been a big fan.
Always understood it. Always understood the process.
And knows that one hand washes the other.
Yeah.
So he was really, really cool about that.
Yeah, and he has similar remarks when he thanks the radio station from the stage, which was really cool. And whether or not you like Bon Jovi or are a fan, this is a band that has sold 100 million plus records, mm-hmm. that can still sell out the Wells Fargo Center. And it's not lost on them where they came from and where their roots were and the fact that Philly has embraced them so much over the years. John has never forgotten that. And Steve, you were talking about this yesterday, and I could not agree with you more that he appreciates it, and
yes.
it's a genuine appreciation.
Yeah.
And some artists get really, really big and kind of forget. John is not.
There are a number of artists that should really be following his example. Listen, you never want to say how can friends be in debt, as they say, but the truth of the matter is this station is owed a lot by a lot of artists that have not returned the favor or kept the relationship going, especially to the level of John Bon Jovi and the band.
Yeah, and his appreciation and friendship with Pierre Robert is something to admire as well.
It's great.
Bruce Springsteen. Let's play a clip of John from the stage.
You don't know how lucky you are to have such a great rock and roll radio station that believes in the power of music and the connection with its people. I want to thank them for all their support for all these years, so happy birthday to them all. We're also, we're celebrating, you guys finally won the Super Bowl.
That's a pretty good crowd pleaser right
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway.
He did talk a little bit about regretting not going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he said so many people, you know, associate him with Philadelphia. Yeah, and he afterwards, he was like, maybe I should have went.
Well, he gave some love to Pierre specifically later on. John himself grew up like a Giants fan, but he owned the Soul for a long time. And so he gave some love to the Soul. And then I think he's buddies with Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. But he was, mostly is just a big football fan. So
yes, yeah.
I think he was, he was just saying congratulations to Philly without being disingenuous about it.
He said he's been friends with him for like 30 years.
Who, Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. All right, so Chuck D'Amico has come in here, and I assume you have something to say.
Well, Nick invited me in to talk about a pre-show.
So, is this the story that we're going to? Yeah, okay, yeah. There's a story that had to get clearance.
Well, I didn't want to
telling on air.
I didn't want to throw our boss under the bus. Bill Weston was there a lot. Steve, you mentioned that most of the MMR staff are
Kevin Gunn, Rodney, everybody, just a
Jackson,
whole bunch of people.
Sarah.
Brent Porsche.
Yeah, you, me, and Marissa were there as well. And we are very lucky in this business to get access to stuff from.
Oh
time
my
time.
God! Yeah,
and there was a staff photo that was organized. With the band right before the show started. So we didn't know if this was going to happen or not. And then we got there and Pierre did his show from the Wells Fargo Center and then Jackson and Jackie. So Jackie Bam Bam came down as well. And at about 8 o'clock, we all went into the bowels of the Wells Fargo Center. And whenever you do these types of things, there's a lot of standing around and waiting. So they had this backdrop, this curtain, and it's a black backdrop. And we're just waiting there and waiting there. And we were outside of Bon Jovi's dressing room. And they say, okay, the band's going to come out. They're going to do a staff photo with you guys. And typically, Chuck, when these things happen, it's 45 seconds to a minute.
It was maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they
it's like the footage of Bigfoot walking away.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't really get any one-on-one time with the band or get to chat with them or anything like that. But it's a neat moment. You get a photo with a rock star, with a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band.
Gets the job done.
It gets the job done. Exactly.
But you even practice. Like they they had us practice the photo without the band there.
Oh, so, seriously?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You got to be tighter. Yeah. I can't get this person. I can't.
When they
come out, stick your heads kind of between their heads so everybody can be seen in the shot and all that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah. They want the photo to look good.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do that. The plan is they're gonna do this photo right before
like
they go
literally
out on stage.
Walking on to say walk out, stand in front of us, take a picture, walk on stage and start your concert.
Did they actually put shoes down on the floor so they could step into them?
No,
exactly where to stand. Yeah, yeah.
And our buddy Brian from Chorus Photography is a great photographer, and he's organizing everybody. He's making sure that we're not wandering off, and you know it's sort of like herding cats at some points. And he's like, guys, you got to stand here. So we're waiting. And so Pierre's in the middle, and Bill Weston, Chuck is to my left, and all of a sudden we see Tuco Torres, the drummer from Bon Jovi, come out of the dressing room.
Short man, by the way.
Yeah, very very tiny.
Hey, everybody.
And Tico immediately starts heading for the stage. And somebody's like, no, we got to do a photo. So Tico comes around and comes back towards us. And then John Bon Jovi comes out and David Bryan. And David ended up right in front of me and gave me a hug, which was cool. He's a nice guy. So, like I said, less than a minute, all of this stuff happens. So it's me, Chuck is to my left, Pierre is to my immediate right, and then immediately to Pierre's right is Bill Weston, our boss, and then right in front of Bill Weston is John Bon Jovi, right? The headliner.
Yep.
Take the photo, everybody starts moving forward.
But during the photo, so Brian wanted to count to three and take the photo,
right?
Or he's counting down from five or something. But, but John's manager, a guy named Paul Corzelius, a very, very nice guy, he's counting the opposite way, but faster.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So he's like, 3, 2, 1.
You
know? And Brian's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a mess, you know, and we don't know what the photo looks like.
You know that countdown that we have with me and Pierre, where Pierre goes 1, 2, 3, and I go 3, 2, 1? It was sort of like that. And their manager is trying to get the band done and to the stage.
Yeah.
You get,
yeah, he's like,
okay, let's go, go. You know, we're done. Let's go, go.
Right.
Yeah. So you take it.
So John moves forward, and as John moves forward, and if you don't know, if the listeners don't know, when a guy's up on stage, he has an earpiece in and a receiver in his back pocket, and that allows him to hear the monitors, hear the stage coordination and things like that.
Yeah. I'm so scared. I don't know where it's going, but I'm scared.
So this is a Bill Weston story.
Yeah.
So Bill accidentally gets tangled up in John's cords.
Oh, no. Jesus.
Yeah.
He's got
the wire.
And by the way, these are, like, of course, as you would imagine for a rock star, like, custom made, for John's ear. That's like, it's rock star. It's
precision equipment.
Somebody
hit the wire to in the perfection. Shirt and all that.
So the earpiece comes flying out. The receiver comes flying out. Now Bill goes into panic mode because he wants to help. Yeah. And so he rushes forward and he grabs the receiver and tries to help put it back in John's back pocket.
This is like when a woman spills wine or you spill wine on a woman's chest and you're going to start to wipe it off. And you're groping her the whole time.
So John's manager comes over and he's like, no, we're good. And then, like, they're just trying to get on stage and start the show. So now John's kind of thrown because it, like, he's got his equipment in and now it's off and now he can't run out on stage, like, he's ready to go. So Bill's just like, I'm sorry. Yeah. And Bill goes into apology panic mode.
Okay.
Well, he felt terrible
as he should. He messed it all up.
But it was a pure accident.
But how did he get tangled in the wires?
He must, maybe perhaps when they were standing side by side, he
pushed everybody tight together.
Yeah. Right. And listen, and in so doing caught his hand.
There's 12 or so people from MMR. You know, there's all the staff, Pancake and Pierre and everybody. And there are, I think, 7 or 8 members of Bon Jovi. Because there's the main band, and then there's acoustic guitar and support guys and percussion. So there's a lot of people in a short amount of
densely packed. And it's if you ever take a picture with Bill wants to look informal, and he'll put his hand down your pants.
But you're all crunched in with one another, and John's equipment got crunched into Bill Weston.
Is it all hanging off? I mean, does it rip out of his ears?
I mean, it looked like it would look at the end of the show.
Yeah.
When John takes it out of his ear and takes the equipment off and runs off stage to be done for the night.
So was John a little miffed?
So the best part to me was John looks back at Bill with a look on his face like, 3 seconds. That's why we don't do this stuff. You know, like who got tangled up in my, like, he had a look on his face like, seriously?
No.
You know, like,
and then he goes, I'm sorry. No, John goes, who is that guy?
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Who is that guy?
And they basically have the same haircut.
The program director of the station. Who is that guy?
Trying to look like me.
Yeah.
Jackass.
But Chuck, you may or may not remember this, but Bill, believe it or not, is actually the second program director in a row to mess up John Bon Jovi. Because do you know the Sam Milkman piano story?
No, I don't know that.
There was a charity event where there was a baby grand piano, and this was, I think, with a Philly Soul years and years ago. So Sam was the program director for 3 or 4 years here at the radio station, and the baby grand had its lid open, and John was resting his hand on the side of the piano.
Oh, no.
And Sam bumped into it.
Oh, no.
And the lid comes crashing down like a cartoon sound effect. I'm not exaggerating. Nary a second in advance, John pulls his hand back in time. So Sam Milkman nearly crushed John Bon Jovi's hands. All Bill did was piss him off right before the show started.
Why does this guy even do anything with us?
Seriously.
I know. Listen, Bill is, I bet you Bill was.
He felt awful.
Hyper apology and panic mode. Oh, dear God.
Wow. But it was funny for us.
Yeah. Is that why when Bon Jovi went up stage, Bill was being dragged in some cords behind him?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wow.
So that happened.
All right. Well, there's a story now.
If that was the only glitch in the night, then it was a great night. And John, to his credit, went on to thank the radio station, to thank Pierre.
You're not going to believe what just happened. Some old man
didn't thank Bill Weston from the stage?
Did not, no.
No?
I want to thank everyone, but there's one dickhead I'm leaving out.
That guy.
That guy. Put his picture up on the monitors.
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that.
All righty, then. So we were talking about Spinal Tap moments the other day, Preston.
Oh, my God. That's one of them right
there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you guys stick around for the majority of the show? No,
yeah.
You did, Nick.
Yeah, I stayed until about three or four songs left. Brent Porsche got a copy of the set list and forwarded it to me. So
as you would expect, a conga line of hits.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, and he did a cool thing, John did in the middle of the show where he came out.
Where's Bill Weston?
Yeah. No, he went to, he did a sort of side stage thing with just him. So for Bed of Roses, right? That's the name of that song? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another ballad. He was just out in the audience singing to the crowd. So that part was cool. The rest of the band stayed up on the main stage, but John came out into the crowd.
Nice.
So that was cool. And, it was a lot of Philly love, a lot of MMR love, and I was glad that I was there.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. So, and I'm glad that Pierre got some one-on-one time. Because he not only spoke to John, but he spoke to David Bryan as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Other guys.
Yeah, and Phil X, who's a super nice guy. Phil X, by the way, was in...
Yeah, he was in Triumph for one record.
For one record.
No kidding. So he comes walking up for the photo, and I say to him, I go, Phil, man, I loved your Triumph record. Nothing. Nothing.
He didn't say anything?
Barely. He probably didn't hear me or didn't care to listen to me. Oh. Yeah.
So nothing. Did any conversation whatsoever?
No.
Yeah.
No.
But Pierre did get to introduce Bon Jovi as the band, which was cool. So Pierre was out on stage for 3 minutes or and talking about the radio station and the history. And so that was a nice moment for him as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
The crowd eating that up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a great picture that Brian, our friend from Chorus Photography, took of Pierre on stage, red shoes, a spangly blue jacket,
of course,
with his arms up, and what looks like a sold-out crowd.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo Center. So that's a great picture right there for Pierre. That's amazing.
Yeah, as far as birthday concerts go for the radio station, you only turn 50 once, and this one we did with pretty style, except for Bill.
Marissa says she took that picture, but the one I have right here has Chorus Photography as the credit.
She was on his show.
Not the one up there, this one over here.
There's one over here.
This one's a little better than yours. I'm sorry. Yours is great, but it's a little bit better. But anyhow, well, that's cool, man. Thanks to everybody who made it out for the event. And
great time.
Sorry I missed it. I was sick.
Yeah, I was glad people were able to come to the suite, have as much water as they wanted.
Steve, the big joke was, because we originally, in the actual build, you weren't here personally yesterday for this, but, you know, Kathy's reading the list of things, and the suite's going to have pizza and water. And I'm like, oh, my God,
oh,
water.
No, no. I knew it was on there. I skipped the water part each time I read it because it was so stupid. It was pizza and soda and water. And I'm like...
Yeah,
we're really.
I got a little frivolous. I was inviting people up to the suite for water, you know, and people that maybe weren't deserving of the water. But actually, it was fully catered.
Well,
it was wonderful.
You're a giver, Steve.
I know.
You're very generous with the water. It was
nice. It was very funny.
So that was birthday celebration number what?
I guess two or three, right?
Well, we've got a biggie coming up with the barbecue.
Yeah, 2 weeks away.
Yeah. Marissa?
Well, just one fun thing. Everybody, while we were waiting for that infamous photo now to be taken, everybody had been escorted into the green room area, and I lost everyone backstage. So Chuck had looked at me while we were backstage and said, are you Facebook Living us? And I said, of course. So I hopped on the WMR Facebook page and started wandering around backstage, completely lost everybody, and ended up underneath the stage, like with all the equipment, and I was Facebook Living. So if you go to the WMR Facebook page, there's an entire tour.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
I want to see that.
That I accidentally took while looking for the crew. So it's fun.
Well, the mechanics of putting together a group photo are so annoying when you get, you know, and I think you guys, as I was leaving, I was going to go and work the crowd a little bit. And Nick, you said there's going to be a group photo coming up. And I go, great, that'll be the photo that I can say I wasn't in that.
Right.
Yeah. I know how arcane these things are to get going.
I hate them.
I just despise them.
I can't stand group photos. They're
Come on, everybody.
I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. And then somebody's always not paying attention, or somebody didn't want to do it.
Who are we waiting on?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are we waiting on? Can't
somebody's always getting wrapped up in Bon Jovi's wires.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's so awful.
I mean, who are you?
Steve, I'm the program director.
I just wish, Steve, you had actually seen it happen.
If I had been there, I would have unloaded.
All right, anyhow, thanks to all those who made it. And yes, it's just the beginning of our celebrations. There are many other events that we're going to be doing in this year to celebrate 50 years on the air here in Philadelphia. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. We'll get to the Bizarre File. We also have our MMR birthday bucks, $1,000, your chance to win. We'll be right back.
All this year, 93.3 WMMR celebrates 50 years of rocking Philadelphia, and we're celebrating with the best of everything that rocks, including something brand new, tapping the keg for our first ever beer festival, WMMR's Birthday Beer Bash. Cheers to 50 years.
Saturday, June 23rd, outdoors at Sugar House Casino. Throughout the afternoon, enjoy unlimited samples of over 100 beers, plus live music, food trucks, tailgate games, and lots more. Tickets on sale now. Get to WMMR.com for tickets and more info. VIP and early bird discount available while supplies last. WMMR's Birthday Beer Bash. Cheers to 50 years. From 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Very nice. You know what? I'll kill a little bit of time here because I want to get this right at 8 o'clock.
Do it.
And I don't want to do a short bizarre file. I'll take a moment because I was sick yesterday. I still am sick today, but I was no way I was able to make it into work yesterday. I do want to recap and thank our friends at Pocono Raceway for having me out for a special media event with Jimmy Johnson.
Yes.
Seven-time NASCAR Monster Energy Cup champion, tied only with Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty, the greatest of all time.
And you heard that he's mysteriously fallen ill, Preston.
Listen, if he ends up missing out on the Autism Speaks in the Dover 400 this weekend, that will be my fault because I did shake hands with him.
I have to come in for a pit stop.
I wasn't full on sick, but I was starting to feel bad. So, but I did shake hands and thank him for allowing me to jump in the car with him and take a ride.
He seemed very personable.
Very nice guy. Very nice guy. And I got to thank Kevin Haney over there at Pocono Raceway for setting that up because they're super, super duper nice people. They love our radio show. But yeah, it was really cool. I showed up. They were already, I got there a few minutes late. There was a media event. They were interviewing him, and there was an actor there as well. And I jotted down his name.
God, Jack Nicholson.
No, it wasn't Jack Nicholson. I wrote down his name. Hang on one second because I wasn't completely familiar with him. His name is Christopher Jackson.
Christopher Jackson.
I think he's on a show called Bull.
Oh, yeah. Bull is the guy who was formerly on NCIS.
And he also played George Washington in the Hamilton Broadway show.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I think in that first year that it ran, he was like one of the main characters.
There's a NASCAR segment in Hamilton?
No. Oh. This guy just happened to be there. Oh, and he was doing some...
I reverse engineered that.
His son has autism. And so, you know, the NASCAR really gets behind all this stuff. And Pocono, by the way, has set up... they've created these two quiet rooms that they were telling me about. So if you do have kids that have sensory issues...
Wow.
You can go to this incredibly loud, crazy event. And if you need to get away from all that, they have that available. And they just built this new playground and all this really cool stuff.
That's sensational.
So Jimmy was helping promote that. And so was this guy, Christopher Jackson. So some really cool things. And so they were already doing some interviews. And I showed up and I went straight... I was hungry. So I went to the media area and I had lunch. And then Jimmy just came strolling in, and he's walking around. He's getting a salad or whatever, and he's kind of looking around. All the tables were full, and I was sitting at one table, just a two-person table by myself. And I'm like, I won't bug you if you want to sit down and eat. And he's like, oh, thanks. And then he walked away.
God damn it. When a guy says that, he's going to bug the F out of you.
Uh-huh. But anyway, no, they had a separate room for him to eat in. And then I jumped in the car with him. He had already taken two people for a ride, and I popped in, and he was texting somebody. I'm like, dude, no texting and driving. He's like, right? Yeah. So I filled.
Oh, we have a comedian here.
Hang on. Sorry. But anyway.
Can you keep some of that in a baggie for Kathy?
Oh, my God. That's making me want to fall off.
I'll take a picture of all my phlegm here in the trash can in a little while.
God.
But anyway, So I wanted to do something kind of fun with him. So we just had that bizarre file story where a guy in traffic was playing rock, paper, scissors. So I said, hey, why don't we, I said, I wanted to do something with you you've never done before on the track. Let's play rock, paper, scissors. He's like, yeah, absolutely. And so immediately he just dived right into, took both hands off the wheel and starts going right in and playing rock, paper, scissors. And I beat him. We were going to do two out of three, and I beat
him
right away.
Undefeated, man.
Yep, completely.
This is a good angle. Now we're looking at a shot of you. You're holding your phone, and you have some nice video. It's you up from the lower part of the car there by the glove compartment.
Yep.
And you guys are playing it. Looks like he's having fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It wasn't in a stock car. We were in a a pretty souped up Camaro.
Oh.
And but what we did is instead of doing the tricky triangle, the gigantic 2-mile oval, or actually it's more a triangle. We go around the first turn, and then it detoured into, they have in the infield, they have a road course.
I didn't know that.
Twists and turns and hairpin turns and all kinds of stuff. So we rode And he took me through that, and which was really cool because he would come up flying up to a hairpin turn.
Yeah.
Without hitting the brakes.
Oh, wow.
And know exactly, you know, when to slow down and make the turn without having the rear end kick out.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, it was so cool.
Yeah, it had to be.
I was flying all over the, you know,
that's awesome.
The interior of the car while he was doing it. And he was telling me what he was doing along the way as well. And then we went back out onto the triangle, and he was telling me about the you know, the banks of the turns. And he's like, and when you come down here, this is a tricky part because it gets a little bumpy. And so sure enough, we go along, you feel a couple little bumps. He's like, this is the most dangerous part on the course. And then he's like, and this is the most important part when you come around here because you hit this this long straightaway. It's the longest straightaway. And I said, how fast do you guys get going on this straightaway when you're racing? He said, but by the time we get to the turn, we're doing about 217.
217 miles an hour.
217.
Astonishing. Astonishing. So it sounds like he was very engaged and
yeah,
it was a good time.
Super nice guy. And it was really cool. And his manager was there, and we should be getting him on sometime in
oh,
the
good.
Near future.
Oh,
he
nice.
Wants right. to get in touch. Give us a call sometime in the near future. So we'll do
excellent.
That. So thank you to the gang at Pocono Raceway, and thank you to Jimmy Johnson for taking me for a ride. It was very, very cool. All right, it's time to do this.
MMR's Birthday Bucks. Birthday Bucks.
All righty, it is time to get started here, gang. MMR, WMR, Philadelphia, and A&T, Chevy in Sellersville wants you to win $1,000. It's pretty simple, too. All you have to do is text a word that I'm going to give you in just a moment to a very special number. All right, so the word is worth, W-O-R-T-H. Text that to 40772, and you have until 15 minutes past the hour to do that very thing. We are going to grab a random texter and give them $1,000 in cash, and it just might be you. So you got some time to do this. If you need to pull over somewhere, you can in a couple of minutes. You have until 15 minutes past the hour to text the word worth to 40772. Good luck to you.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and it's brought to you by Godshall's Turkey Bacon. The real wood-smoked turkey bacon, only Godshall's packs this much flavor and 94% fat-free and made at facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. Godshall's bacon. Thank you to everyone for sending me this this story.
Oh, yeah.
It's a follow-up. The Kenilworth school superintendent charged Monday with defecating in public was caught in the act.
In the act.
At the Homedale High School football field and track after surveillance was set up due to human feces being found on a daily basis.
What Thomas, a loathsome individual.
So it wasn't his school. It was like a neighboring school?
It was a rival school, I had heard. So.
Yeah, it's like stealing the mascot.
So Thomas Tramaglini, who's 42 years old, lives about 3 miles from Homedale High School in neighboring Aberdeen. He was running at the track on the athletic fields around 5:50 a.m. before he was arrested. Track coaches and staff at Homedale High School told the district's resource officer that they had found human feces on or near the football field and track daily.
Daily?
School employees began monitoring the area. And on Monday, police arrested Tramaglini at about 5:50 a.m. He is also charged with lewdness and littering. He's due in municipal court on Monday to answer charges.
He looks very sad.
Tramaglini has taken a paid leave of absence from his $147,000 a year job.
As there is an incident involving my public pooping, I will not be attending work for the next 2 weeks.
Leave can only be unpaid if a person is indicted or faces tenure charges, and that's citing state law. He was replaced by Superintendent Scott Taylor, who resigned in August of 2015. So this dude was caught on camera taking a dump on the neighbor on his rival school's track and field and did it daily.
I don't mind admitting this, but I would love to see that footage.
I would, too.
I just want to see the setup. I want to see if he does like a dog and walks around in circles before he goes.
God, this guy. Wow, that's insane.
Well, it's higher learning.
A Vermont man is facing charges that he used a shotgun to silence a smoke detector in the kitchen of his apartment. Police say two shots fired Monday afternoon from the 20-gauge shotgun owned by 68-year-old Leroy Mason hit the adjoining wall of an occupied apartment.
Goddamn thing.
Police said that Mason has complained about frequent false alarms from his smoke detector
And he was frying up some scrapple.
He was upset fire crews wouldn't relocate it, so he took it upon himself to relocate the smoke detector and shot it off with a shotgun.
Can't you just take the batteries out?
That's what most people would do.
I don't reach for the shotgun first.
Emergency personnel say they took the shotgun from Mason, who then pointed a handgun at them while demanding his shotgun back.
It's really a useful kitchen tool, the shotgun.
Emergency crews disarmed Mason, and there were no injuries. He has pleaded not guilty and was released.
It was hurting my ears.
Okay. Are you ready for this story?
Disgusting, horrific.
It's just awesome all the way around.
All right.
I mean, it's a bad thing that happened.
But it is an amusing thing.
The details are a little bit on the funny side.
All right.
A Brooklyn jail guard's massive hook-shaped penis helped the feds nab him for sexually assaulting inmates. It was revealed in court on Tuesday as jurors listened on in shock.
Wow. So he has a massive hook-shaped penis.
Lieutenant Eugenio Perez is accused of forcing women at the Metropolitan Detention Center to give him oral, and prosecutors said that they were able to nail him as a suspect when multiple accusers described his distinctive phallus.
Okay.
Indeed, the schlong arm of the law caught up with Perez.
Back to you, Kate.
When the feds made him drop trow to make a positive ID. Just what made Perez's member so memorable also became a big reveal on the first day of the Brooklyn jail guard sexual abuse trial. This is according to an inmate from the federal lockup. She said he wasn't circumcised. And it was like a hook. It was it was humongous, and it was curved.
It sounds like a fleshy boomerang.
Yeah, this is a 38-year-old former inmate in Sunset Park. She testified anonymously, but she also noted, and I quote,
"All right, let us have it.
It kind of smelled bad.
Oh my God!
Was it her job to smell it?
She said, if it didn't stink, I would have been all over that S.
Okay."
Well, you know, in a way, a compliment.
Yeah. The woman who was jailed.
I think any guy would be happy to hear that if their junk didn't stink, your lover would be all over that ass.
The woman who was jailed at the time on a drug charge but has since been released said Perez had approached her when she was getting cleanup supplies from a cameraless lieutenant's office at the jail. And at first she embraced his hugs and kisses because she was lonely. But after a while it became forceful and she was like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, well, absolutely. A little bit of advice, though, to people with hook-shaped, fleshy, uncircumcised penises. Clean them, please.
Clean them. Perez was one of three guards charged last May with turning the detention center into their personal harem. So they've had some real problems. And they are starting to track down. But this guy, multiple people had said the same thing about his unit and the way it was shaped. And that's how they busted him.
Aren't there cameras in?
Not in that area. It's at a cameraless lieutenant's office.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right. And then one more story. We'll wrap it up. During his Monday tour through Crestview, Congressman Matt Gaetz met with sixth graders at Shoal River Middle School to give them a brief civics lesson. And at least one young girl learned about her First Amendment right. After meeting with students, Gaetz took a selfie with the audience and quickly shared it to his Facebook page. And I guess he didn't notice. The kids were smiling and waving their hands. And one young lady is in the front, clearly extending her middle finger.
Oh, that's great.
Flipping it off in the picture. This is a sixth grader. It's hilarious. Look at the bottom right. The congressman said it's just another day in politics. He said it's certain to occur again. The mother girl commented on the photo, which had 500 shares of the writing of this article, saying that she was very sorry about the photo and would deal with her daughter. She said, political views aside, this is completely unacceptable, and I apologize on behalf of my daughter. She wrote, I'm very sorry this occurred. Dozens of commenters said the girl was simply exercising her First Amendment rights. Gaetz replied back, saying that he had a lovely time with the students. He said, as a middle school student, I'm sure I had plenty of lapses in judgment that were far more severe than this one. We've all been middle schoolers. We all know what the wonder years are like.
Do you remember when you first flipped the bird as a statement? When you were aware of what, when you really meant it?
I was a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody was flipping the bird around.
It was all the rage.
Yeah, yeah. I think it might have been around the time, Steve, of the Bad News Bears.
Yes.
Because they did that a few times in a movie. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I like it that.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the B5 for you this morning. You have just a few more minutes until actually 15 minutes after the hour to text the word worth to 40772. That is our birthday bucks word and your chance to win $1,000. So get on that. The word is worth. Text it to 40772. It's from WMMR and A&T Chevy in Sellersville. Good luck to you. We'll be back in just a moment.
and Steve show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We are happy to welcome our next guest to the studio. She's got shows tonight and tomorrow at Helium Comedy Club. Is a writer for one of our favorite shows, Crashing, on HBO. We've had Pete Holmes and Artie Lang here in the studio. Judd Apatow.
Yeah, great time.
So we are happy to have Beth Stelling in our program today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Beth. How are you?
I'm good. I love how 8:20 is hoagie hour for you guys. Yeah, really even is. Up that early that it's lunch.
It's such a bizarre contortion of a normal schedule for people, because sometimes people come in here at 7:30 in the morning, we're eating ribs. You know, everything gets thrown up. But it does as well in, you know, a stand-up's a lifestyle. It's a comedian.
True. You know. That's why I have this. Is this why you put this, this rum here?
Yeah, we got to keep you all liquored up. Yeah.
Thank
but do you ever have, you know, breakfast for dinner? That's a treat.
Oh, yeah. Growing up with a single mom, breakfast for dinner was on the regs. Yeah. Whatever you guys find in the fridge, it's yours.
There's something almost, it seems as if you're breaking a law if you have cereal for dinner, but it's, you like being a badass.
Right,
you know?
Feels naughty, yeah. Waffles for dinner? I'm wild.
You know what, though? I've had this mental struggle going on with pancakes, which I love, but I haven't had like in 10 years.
What?
Because why? To me...
I know.
Wait, and perhaps you could help.
You do have nice muscles. I can see that.
Well, thank you. But it's eating... eating cake for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, and I used to.
You're right.
But I should like it, right?
Yeah. It's this breakfast. Whole time, I was like, cake for, it's in the name. You're right. Yeah. I just never focus on the cake part. Yeah. Just really focus on the pan part.
I think I had like a revelation, because I knew that as well.
I've seen you eat cookies for breakfast, though.
But not for breakfast. As an addendum.
Okay.
I have had my kids ask, you know, or see them about to go eat a cookie for breakfast, and I'll say, no, you can't have a cookie for breakfast. Well, can
you
I
want
have
pancakes?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, and there's Cookie Crisp.
It's so, it makes no sense. Thing.
I mean, that's why they have these healthy cereals for us. Like, well, you know.
Kashi.
Right.
Wait,
right.
Do you have any health regimens? What's your deal? Are you just pancakes around the clock person or a Kashi person?
I think my exercise is like, am I having sex or am I not having sex? You know what I mean? And if I am, maybe I'll eat a little less before.
You want to look your best.
Yeah, absolutely.
what's your pre-sex diet?
Uh-huh.
What will you avoid? I always, because
oh,
I remember,
right, true.
Like, gassy food.
Avoid Indian. Yeah.
Right.
I grew up eating so much Indian food because my dad grew up in India, so we grew up eating like delicious Indian food.
Really?
That my grandmother made. Yet when I go to a restaurant, I don't know how to order. First of all, because it's a massive country and there's all different regions. But you can't just be like, you know, the thing my grandma made. my grandma never like was like, here's your chicken tikka masala. You just like ate what was ever in the kitchen.
That sounds good, though, because I've never, I want so much. Everyone raves about how good Indian food is. And I have a feeling I'm getting Americanized versions of it that stink.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what your situation is like here in Philly, but there's got to be people who... There's got to be good Indian.
Yeah.
I had sushi last night. Was that a mistake?
No. This is a foodie town.
And okay.
Our forefathers were big sushi eaters.
Okay. No, but over the last 15 to 20 years, the restaurant quality in Philadelphia has gotten markedly better, and so you're safe with Indian sushi, whatever.
Okay, good. Well... I'm not, I don't know. We'll see who comes to the show tonight. I have to figure out what to avoid, what my options are.
So doing some reading about you. Are you from Chicago?
So I started stand-up in Chicago.
Okay.
I'm from Ohio.
Okay, from Ohio.
Yeah.
But and I have a question, because you were interned at the Steppenwolf.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's where Gary Sinise and Malkovich and all those guys.
Yeah, Laurie Metcalf.
So you come more from you started more in theater, right?
I was a theater girl.
But that's kind of cool. And that Steppenwolf thing has an aura about it.
Yeah, I learned a ton. It was such a good experience. I was basically the intern for their school at Steppenwolf, which was their training program that they decided to start that was basically taught by all the founding members or people that had come and gone from the theater company.
So you'd get a Sinise walking in?
Yeah, I mean, I learned improv from Sheldon Patinkin. He was like there. Yeah, and Amy Morton did Meisner, Tina Landau did Viewpoints. It was just like I was learning from like the best
of the
best.
So the regular deal then is that they show up and they'll teach.
Yeah, they teach a class for, I think it was like 6 or 8 weeks. Although I still remain friends with some of the people. This was, I don't know, over 10 years ago because I was the intern. So I basically had to sit and audit all the classes. But like what they remember from me is, I mean, I was 20. I had my sister's ID. I was like living in Chicago with these people. And sometimes I would be like in these classes with these brilliant people and they would look over and I was asleep. Like that's how they remember me. Those people asleep. In the classes are just like laying on the ground asleep. As the intern. So, yeah, maybe I slacked off a little bit.
But that was improvisation in and of itself.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was teaching them how not to give a crap.
Take naps.
Yeah.
When did things turn to comedy then, if you were in more theater?
So, I graduated with a BA in theater from the prestigious Miami University of Ohio, known for their theater program.
From whence Laurence Olivier came.
Yes. I remember my mom came to my first theater show at Miami. It was Birds, Aristophanes Birds.
Wow. Like,
okay, but we did this modern spin. I think I was wearing a tan bodysuit. It was all very upsetting. And we did, like, we sang We Are the Champions as a closer, and my mom has been so supportive, is a pianist, like, is an artist, right. Was like, honey, are you sure this is what you want to be doing? I was like, it gets better. So I graduated and moved to Chicago after I interned, and then I did, like, my first play. And I think that is when I switched to comedy because, it was a storefront theater. I'm sure I got paid $50 for, like, 17 weeks of work.
Right.
And I was just a little – I found myself, like, a 22-year-old jaded person. Like,
sure.
I don't know if I can do this anymore. And you just can't be 22 and not passionate about what you're about to –
I'm burned out.
Yeah. So I was just basically, like, I went on one audition, and I was like, I don't know if I even want to be doing this or working with these people. And so I just started writing my own stuff.
But that's good. I think having the foundation blocks of theater,
being comfortable
theater
on stage,
you had that nailed.
Yes.
Yeah. So just the material and getting to that point,
right?
You know, is the deal.
Yeah.
I have a friend that went to the University of Miami in Ohio. Yeah, but he would leave the of Ohio part out. So he would tell people he went to the University of Miami. And my girlfriend ended up marrying him. But when she first met him, she was like, yeah. She's like, we'll be able to do trips down to Miami. Like, it'll be great. And then, like, a few months in, he was like, yeah, no, it's in Ohio.
It's Oxford, Ohio, the paper science capital of the world. Can't wait to show you some of that.
That's a classic bait and switch because there's the Suffolk County Community College, but people would say they were going to USC.
Oh, right.
So it's a little bait and switch. So, and then you did a lot of improvisational stuff. And then your first TV stand-up appearance was Conan?
Yes. I guess I was like, 26 or something. I look back and it's like, wowie zowie.
Yeah.
I think my outfit totaled like $26. I think I'm wearing capris. Very upsetting.
Oh.
And also... She gets it. Kathy gets it. And it was a point in my life, too, where it's like you learn so much as you go. I didn't even know how to say how I wanted my hair. Do you know?
Oh, so
I just basically was like, oh, put my hair up. And then all of a sudden I look in the mirror and it's prom. Oh, yeah, there you have it.
Oh, so you prom. Had hair and makeup done.
Yeah, that was my first time probably, or maybe second, who knows. But you know what I mean? Like, now you say, here's what I look like, please do this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you're a real a-hole about it. That's not right. No, but either way, I looked in the mirror and I was like, don't cry.
Aww.
And then we were like, we got this.
Wait, I think Conan, from what we hear, and always been a huge, we're all huge fans, but he's always... always wanted to promote the young up-and-comers.
Yeah, they still do that. They do a great job.
Yeah.
And I actually just did Conan again in November. Everyone's like, why'd you wait so long? I was like, I wanted a real before and after. You know what I mean? So you watch that. And I went to work the next morning at Intelligentsia Coffee. And I remember I used to like serve, you know, Charlie Kaufman.
You were
a
barista?
Like, yeah, that was
really?
My first job.
Wow.
In LA.
So you're on Conan one night and then you go from there to your... barista job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They pay, but it's not enough to quit your job.
Right.
And then I just did it again in November. So you can see like what I would wear, which is basically a nightshirt. I just have a flannel on in the next one. And my hair, I did myself. And I think you can tell.
When I was 21, I lived in L.A. for a little stretch. And my career was at such a height that I was not even hired by the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
Right? Oh,
I couldn't get a job there. My job was driving cars around for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So barista is a step above.
I think that's got a little air of class to it, the
Thank
barista
you.
Title. Are you a good barista, and do you still have barista chops?
So I do still have the skills, I feel like. Some girl went deep in my Instagram and found my old latte art and started liking it.
You can do that?
Art? Yes.
Wow.
Because at Intelligentsia, they train you for like... You have to be trained for like 8 months before you're even allowed to like touch milk.
You're catering to the Intelligentsia, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's very intense. You learn so much. It's like a training program. So I still know a lot about it. I was afraid to make coffee at home for like 8 months because I was like, I don't know. I don't have a scale. You know what I mean? And now I'll just like do whatever I want. But
I love the latte art. I'm like, oh my God, look, yeah, how did they do
it's
that?
Hard.
What's
it's
your
hard
most complex? What can you do?
Do, Preston. I love it.
I do as
say,
well.
I never like we would. I will say this to. This may burst your bubble. The kinds that have like little faces, yeah, or like, yeah, cats and stuff, we would never have been allowed to do that because you have to use like a toothpick or something to mess with it. It's all supposed to be a free pour.
Yeah.
We would do hearts or tulips or what they call a rosetta. It'll be available later in the kitchen to train you guys on milk.
God.
What's a rosetta?
Steamed milk. Yeah. But, you know, I managed a coffee shop in Chicago. And so my first day I moved to L.A., I pulled up in my mom's Mercury Sable and I basically was like, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to get a job. And they gave it to me. I moved to LA with $1,200, which was the most amount of money I'd ever seen in my life. Ooh, there we go. This is more recent.
Oh, we found a picture of her latte art. Is that a Rosetta?
So this was actually, that's me getting back in the game. Because I used to work there in 2011.
Oh, you have not lost anything.
So this is 2014, me checking in on my skills.
Nice. Yeah.
What is that? What do you call that design?
That's a Rosetta.
That is? Okay.
Yeah, and it's Dece. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not perfect. But I trained the kids at Upright Citizens Brigade because they opened Sunset, they have a cafe location.
The Upright Citizens Brigade?
Yeah, so they're like, Beth's a barista, so I trained them.
Wow.
At the cafe, so just to check in on my skills.
I don't know why I'm so, we are legitimately fascinated.
I wish I had a machine here.
Yeah,
I would help you. It's all about making the perfect milk. Preston's like, guys, can we talk about something else?
Well,
I'm the type of person who in the morning I need coffee, but I don't like need a shirt that says I need coffee.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Beth, we had a comedian in one time, and she worked for Otis Elevators at one point in her career.
Yeah.
We spent a good half hour talking to her about elevators.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
No, yeah. It's wild because...
But now I'm a black coffee drinker. I'm
really?
Oh.
So you've totally shunned the whole...
Well,
cream side of the thing.
Yeah, no, it's like it's looked down upon.
Is it,
Steve? Yeah, because basically you're supposed to taste the natural,
right.
Like yeah, you know.
It's like craft beer people. It's coffee has the same type of thing.
Yeah, if you add cream or sugar, you're dismantling the very. you're basically middle finger up to the farmer. That bit, you know.
Do you ever watch the show? I think it's called Dangerous Grounds, where they
There's
go.
A good one.
Wow,
that's some classic Beth 2012 work.
Wow.
You were on Instagram in 2012.
Yeah, babe.
Wow.
I've been on there since who knows when. I don't know. I'm out there. That's the tip jar.
Dude, you're good.
You
have got mad skills in that department. Wow.
Preston, you wouldn't get that and be like, wow, yeah. How'd you do
that? How long
does
that take?
Cool, but I like,
how long
give
does that
give
take?
Me my coffee. Yeah,
that took, okay, I want to say at least like 6 months. Oh, look, Brooks Whelan supported me. Brooks likes that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He and I, he worked around the corner. He was like seriously like an eyeball scientist. It's insane.
Brooks Whelan
comes off as such an idiot. And so, I'm kidding, Brooks, I love you. But he was a scientist around the corner in Pasadena, and I would get like, who even knows, five minutes for lunch, and we'd meet at Subway and scarf Subway together, and we'd both be sad. He'd hate his day job and talk about how he almost got fired, and I'd be like, I'm whipping up milk for people. I think we're gonna be okay.
What was it with Conan that you meant that you met Pete Holmes?
Yeah, so because Pete went to TBS for his talk show, the
right,
Pete Holmes show,
which Conan produced.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So they had me in mind for that. The same booker, JP, that books Conan, booked the Pete Holmes show. So I had done Conan in 2012, and then when they were looking for stand-up guests for Pete Holmes show,
but it all worked
JP
out.
JP got in touch with me.
Yeah,
and was like, you want to do that?
I'm a big fan of the of Crashing.
Thank you.
Great show.
And, yeah, it really is. The Bill Burr episode was the best episode of both seasons. I don't know. Did you have anything to do with that?
Yeah, so basically, you know Greg Fitzsimmons?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love him. Yeah,
I love
very
him
well.
Too. Yeah. So his name's on that. He spearheaded that. But typically, we all are breaking the episodes together. We're all in the room, you know, and sort of start the season by blue skying just all these ideas. But Greg basically took the lead on that because he's friends with Bill and he knows his voice so well. And so, yeah,
they're almost interchangeable. It's you know, in tone and tenor, they're so similar.
Yeah.
And but it's so, but the show is it has that feel. It has the feel of a lot of input and an experience input from multiple working comedians.
And we're all there. I mean, I was sitting right. I actually, you might, if you watch the whole episode, you might see me going, walking to the toilet. At one point, they were like, and I was like, okay, well, I have to pee, and we're on a golf course. Okay.
You know what's really, this episode was tense because Pete does something that you think is going to piss Bill off, right?
In a big way.
And you're waiting for, and he's going to blow up on Bill, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. So we've had Bill in the studio a couple of times. Now he's too big for us, but we understand that.
He always checks.
Oh,
in.
I love it.
He's very loyal. He's very cool.
But he won't be in our studio anytime because, you know, he'll call us.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine by me. But we had asked him to do something. You know, we used to play this trivia game where if you get the question wrong, you get shot with a BB gun. And he wouldn't do it. He's like, I'm not doing it. You know? And I love that about him because he's like, you know what? No, I don't want to. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's one of the odd things that, like, it's interesting you bring that up because as comedians and in general, you are basically saying yes to everything for so long.
Yeah.
That I forget who told me this. Dimitri Martin.
Yeah.
Basically, they're on tour. It was like maybe him and Hannibal and somebody. They're doing some college tour. And the kids come in to the room and they're like, hey, can you do this video for us? Blah, blah, blah. And Dimitri's like, okay, so he does it. And then, oh, no, maybe it was Patrice. Either way, and Patrice was like...
Patrice would not suffer
Patrice
anything.
Patrice was basically like, no, I'm not going to do that. And Dimitri had that moment where he's like, we can say no?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you just don't... You say, I've showed up into someone's living room to do a show for them and their four friends, and I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
What is wrong with me that I was like, yeah, I'll show up to 1200 Franklin Drive. You know what I mean? And I get there, and it's just... guy like, hey, welcome. So I think it's interesting that Bill's basically at a point, of course, where he's like, yeah, I'll do whatever I want or I won't do it.
Yeah.
You know what fosters that? I did stand up for a while and you know, you talk to some of the more seasoned people. It's that next gig, next gig.
Yeah.
Keep working.
And the amount of time you're supposed to get on stage.
Exactly.
You know, like you saw like Mark Harmon doing, you know, like drive-through ads when he was, you know, he's like, I'm going to do whatever I can as an actor. And there's a really interesting scene in La La Land where, you know, it's when they have their fight. And he goes, you know, because she's like, you're not following your dream and you're just doing this. And he goes, what are you talking about? You're an actress, which seems like a really hurtful thing to say to somebody. But he's like, dude... You're auditioning for things that that have nothing to like that interest you whatsoever. You know what I mean? Like, what do you know?
And also, you never know when it'll dry up too. I think that's the thing. Like, even after I started actually working as a full time comic, people would still text me like, "Can you babysit?" And I was like, "Yes, you know, I'll be there."
You would take it.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. And they would be like, "We loved you on this." You know, I'm like, "Have a good night." You know. holding their baby.
What time can I expect you back?
Yeah, exactly.
Just to let you know, if you're just tuning in, it's Beth Stellings who's here, and she's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. There's two shows each night.
To that point, though, did you ever see, it's the great documentary on Joan Rivers. I mean, so here she's...
Piece of work.
Amazing. So she's got this whole career, and she's, you know, it's a storied, legendary career, but yet she's looking in that book.
Yeah.
About, you know, what's booked and what's not. And she starts to, she's in this palatial condo with like gaudy, you know, the royal family's furniture.
Right.
And she's that's why I live in a closet. So I don't have to pay.
So it you never quite lose it.
But it's also innate in a comedian a lot of the time, too. It's just this need to be loved and need to be up on stage and be the center of attention. And I'm not saying that you're narcissistic, Beth.
Thank you.
But
where's the mirror?
The desire to Kathy's got several. The desire helps propel the career forward. You know, you need to have that desire and that want to be up on stage in the first place. Otherwise, you're going to be a failure.
Right, exactly. And go back to the Bill Burr thing. The funny thing about having him on set is we rapped every day. Like in record time. I'm telling you, I think we loved having him because he's such an alpha that, I guess I don't know how to fully express this. If he weren't there being like, hey, how many more times do we have to do this to the director? We would have been taking like seven more takes, but instead we were like, me and Greg were like, this is amazing. amazing. Because normally the director would be like, let's take that one more time. And Bill's like, no, I think we got it. Yeah. You know? So basically he also directed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. Too. I should respect to the director. It was just funny because everybody sort of like adjusted to his sort of
pentameter.
Way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Beth, I'd like to hear why you tried to take a field hockey stick on a plane with you and you were escorted out by TSA.
I know. It was bad. I play field hockey.
You currently play field hockey?
Yeah, that's why my lips all busted.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was like an adults league or?
Yeah, okay. I played on Sunday and I haven't done this, but I was like full speed face planted into the turf.
Ooh.
So I have like a bruise right across here, but I think I've covered it up.
So you play hard?
I can't tell.
Oh my goodness. And then I just scraped a real muff dive. and so basically, you know, field hockey.
Yes.
Always in the muff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I play in this Sunday league, this Moore Park League in the Simi Valley. And then Thursdays do a pickup game. But I basically like grew up playing field hockey. My sister's played. My sister still coaches the team.
Cool. My nieces all play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, it's really, really gotten involved. Like when I was younger, field hockey didn't start until you were in high school. And now they have these leagues for, you know, second graders.
I started in third grade.
Did you
third
really?
Grade.
Yeah.
You must be a lot younger than me.
I'm 22. Okay, everybody laughed a little too hard in the studio.
It was the way you said it.
Okay,
it was
good.
how you said it.
Yeah, but now I will say that I just got back into it over the last year and a half. So okay. I took a break there, but I played it in college. I just played club.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was actually, because you said pickup games, and I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm going to sound sexist, but I don't care.
Go ahead.
All right. So it's not that women don't play sports, because they do, and they're great at sports, but I don't see them doing pickup games all that often. You know what I mean? Like, when was the last time you drove past a basketball court outside and you see, you know, 10 chicks?
Because we need everything scheduled.
You know what time is coming.
Because we're not allowed. A lot of the courts say no women. And
that's it. It's the restrictive policies of these courts.
Yeah. All right. So let me do the Wayback Machine here. Why'd you try to take that hockey stick on plane with you?
Okay. So I live in L.A. I'm based there. I play hockey there. There's a Greenwich Field Hockey League in New York. I wanted to play in New York while I was writing on Crashing.
Yeah.
And I'm in New York basically 4 months out of the year. So I was like, I'll take my stick and I'll play all summer. And I basically would sneak away from the set to play field hockey.
To play field hockey.
Yeah. I would usually talk to the head writer and be like, is there any way you think I'm going to get out on time? I brought my stick. But yeah, they treat it as a weapon. But the one guy, when I was checking in, I was like, do you have to check this? Because I have everything to move to New York for the summer. So two big bags and then two carry-ons and then my stick.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to have to pay extra, like $50. Or no, it was something insane, actually.
For
it was like
field hockey stick?
Yeah, to check it. It was something. It wasn't just $50.
Yeah.
Because obviously I would have done that. I'm rich. But I think that he said, or you can try to take it on as a cane.
Oh my god!
So I did that. You better believe I did that.
So under advice from an official.
Why?
Really?
He was a small Mexican man. I don't know how official it was, but basically he was like, yeah, you're going to just give it a try. And so I did. I tried to take it on as a cane. And the TSA, I was like, no, this is a medical thing. And the TSA guy was looking at me like, no, clearly a sports instrument. I was like, no, it's a medical thing.
But like, you got to say, but what if it was a cane?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See, like, I agree with you 100%.
Like,
I tried.
They were like, look at this 22-year-old.
I know, right? I was like, I'm sponsored. I need this cane.
Go up and say I identify as a Russian man, and they would have to accommodate that. Sure. They're not going to accommodate your hockey stick.
No, it was such a shame. So then I had to my roommate straight up had to come to the airport. Thankfully, it was Burbank airport because LAX. No one would have helped.
You're on your own.
But it had all my stripes on it, like for every time I scored.
Oh,
and
man.
So I was like, someone needs to save this relic.
Yeah,
you can't toss it. This is history.
I went to an Eagles game. You know those giant Hulk fists, right?
Yeah.
I go in there with the Hulk fist, right? Because it's awesome. It's green.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to let me bring them into the stadium. I go, these things are made of foam.
Yeah.
I go, my sneakers can do way more damage than these things. And the security guard was like, You know what? You're right. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, see, but you can't do that with TSA. They're just, they don't, they, it's performance.
They don't
art.
Have logic?
Yeah, no. They no? just, okay. Yeah, I call the TSA performance art.
Well, 9/11 affected the whole hockey stick issue. So,
yeah, so then I ended up having to buy a stick. But the Greenwich League always has extra sticks, so I got to play for a couple weeks.
How much
before.
Is a stick?
It depends. I mean, if you want to spend a lot of money, you can probably drop. 100, 200 bucks.
Okay, because my third grade daughter is playing this spring.
Yeah, you can get a tiny little one for her.
I didn't have to worry about that. I got them for my nieces.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
just wondering how what I'm looking at.
Right, right. Yeah, no, you can find a good one. You can find a cheap one, too.
I didn't realize it got so aggressive, though. That I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
man.
I play
yeah.
co-ed, so I play men.
Oh,
there
wow.
you go.
Okay.
You get a $30 one. So, yeah, this... Yeah, this Argentinian man on the other team, the Bulldogs, he's the bane of my existence.
Really?
Yeah. So
he's got your number?
Yeah, they just play a horrible game, the Bulldogs. it should be a passing game. It's turf. It should be quick passes where you're... But they just whack it as hard as they can. They drive the ball on turf and then... They're trying to intimidate you, so it very irritates me. I'm a defender.
Yeah.
Point being, I'm running out of steam. We had no subs on Sunday. Okay, so I'm playing for a straight hour. And it's near the end of the game. He does have a pretty goal. It was, like, beautiful.
Okay.
Fine, I'll give him that. And then his teammate goes, you've been waiting for that for a long time. And I looked at him and I go, maybe his whole life.
Yeah.
And then I got him to laugh, but not the tiny Argentinian.
Do you wear helmets or mouth gear or anything?
Mouth
like
guard,
that?
Just okay. like a rubber mouth guard,
sure.
and then shin guards, but that's it.
That's pretty okay. cool. That's yeah. yeah I always thought you guys were a little woefully underprotected.
Yeah, you get like I have like turf burn, and my knuckles and fingers are all messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I wear a glove now. Exactly.
Yeah, muff mouth. Yeah.
yeah. But, yeah, and then, you know, the turf will leave scars on you and stuff.
How come American men don't play?
I don't know. It's a lot of UK men, yeah. Indian men, and they're all so good. They play such a good game. I just stay and watch because it's a much quicker game than I play.
It just
point.
Never caught on for boys in school, and I was always perplexed by that.
Yeah. I remember playing growing up, and the guy that I liked, Sam Dunsky, he was basically, like, playing on the opposite team in gym, and he was like, go ahead, Beth, hit it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I broke his ankle, I think, on accident. I was really just trying to prove my dominance. Oh, my God.
And you did.
Yeah.
Way
no,
to go.
I don't know if I broke it. It was swollen.
Wow.
I did some. That's why this dent in my... That's this little thing is a ball.
You want to find out a few more facial
yeah.
anomalies?
Hey, listen, Preston, my face is messed up. People, come out and check it out. See if it's how messed up it is.
It's like Quint and Richard Dreyfuss
showing
up featuring scars.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Beth, yes, is going to be at Helium Comedy Club. Two shows, 7:30 and 10 o'clock, both tonight and tomorrow night. And you can go to heliumcomedy.com and get your tickets. And the weather's going to be beautiful this
weekend.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Great to be out and about in the city of Philadelphia. So thank you for coming by here. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Excellent. We'll see you again sometime soon. It's Beth Stelling,
yeah.
guys. It's here for. We'll take a break and we'll come back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stevens' brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is in town for a doctor appointment.
Yeah, we just heard.
And he's doing shows at Punchline in Philadelphia. Please welcome Mr. Ralph Harris.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And
hey, that almost feels like I worked it out for that very reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
My
it's
doctor's
a smart
appointment.
Move.
Right, well, exactly.
You were explaining this is a doctor that's been your doctor for 3 decades,
yes,
right?
And his hands are not getting any smaller. And I need him to send the nurse in today.
But with the bony knuckles, he gets into the nooks and crannies a little bit more, right?
I just want them to tell me what to feel for. I'll do it myself. Yeah. You can stand there. I'll just do it myself. myself. It's a little awkward. You know? Come on, man. And don't tell me jokes when you do it. I don't want to hear your jokes right now.
Do you get that a lot because you are because of your occupation?
Yeah,
they're
going
to whip out
the
jokes.
They think I want to hear jokes. Yeah. I don't want to hear no more jokes. Just tell me something else. How was your day last week? I don't know.
Now, you took care of your dentist as well? So you hit both?
I took care of all my appointments because if I do it, like while I'm working, Blue Shield covers it a certain way, you know. So you can be on stage. I'll do an appointment on stage. I don't care, as long as I get a cheaper copay.
It'd be a hell of a show.
So if you have your dentist and your doctor, what's your history with Philadelphia? For people who may not know,
Philly. I'm from here, born and raised in North Philly. Mm-hmm. I grew up around the corner from Joe Frazier's gym, where it used to be.
So cool.
And then we
moved
to Germantown, and then I started doing stand up. You know, here in '85.
Yeah.
When comedy was booming, baby, and so I stayed here. And then went to New York after about 2 years of doing it. And
did you ever see Smokin' Joe around?
Oh, yeah. I saw Joe Frazier and the Knockouts when Joe Frazier was playing percussion, like a tambourine and congos and stuff like
while
the band was playing. My grandfather was a prize fighter, so he would take us around there, and he knew Joe. And, I remember when Ali came to town, and it was like all this craziness, and we ran around the corner and saw Ali outside the window making some, you know.
Yeah.
And then you see him. You know.
I wish I could have met Joe before he died, man.
Yeah.
He was something else. And I know, you know, I'm too young to have been, you know, to remember all the Ali Frazier stuff. But knowing myself, I probably would have been a Frazier guy.
Yeah.
I would have been a fan of Joe.
I was because he lived around the corner. His shop was around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But I was Ali because Ali was commercial and he was, you know, he was a talker.
Yeah.
So I was torn.
He knew exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I felt the same way, too. I commiserated with Frazier, but for presentation,
you also
had to dig what Ali was doing.
Said commiserated. It's way too early. My mind just said encyclopedia, the thesaurus. No, but you're absolutely right. And then in the movie, you know, when they showed the movie and they showed that there was a time when Ali was getting money from Joe to keep it going.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big deal. I mean, we kind of knew that. My grandfather used to tell me those stories. And I was like, man, that's, you know, to know that that guy was around the corner.
It's pretty wild, especially when Joe did pass and Ali came to town. He was obviously not in the best shape himself, but by hook or crook, he was going to get. Because you talk about a chunk of sports history, of legend.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that those two were part of.
Especially, it seems like, you know, you get real used to that when you're from Philly.
Yeah.
You know, all the legends that come through here. You know, and I remember the first time I saw Dr. J. And I'd never seen anybody that tall in my life. And I was like, wow, look at this dude. And then you talk to him and, you know, the sports legacy, all the Eagles and everything, man.
But you're right about certain athletes, because there are some larger than life. And Dr. J for me was one as well. And Ali, and there are incredible athletes that don't quite make it into that pantheon.
Yeah.
And I think about Allen Iverson a lot in those terms, because Allen may have been the best sixer ever.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
Allen's going to be part of the talk forever.
But he kind of screwed up along the way, because he could have owned this town. He really could have, but he...
But where do you think he screwed it up as much as the fact that they just didn't win a title?
There's a point there. That's a good point.
I mean, sometimes you have to leave Philly to appreciate Philly.
Yeah.
And so being from L.A. and, you know, following the Lakers because I've been living there so long, I appreciated Allen Iverson. When I realized he was hanging the hat, I was going, no, that's the kind of guy you thought would play basketball forever.
Yeah, and I heard an argument at one point that said Allen Iverson is pound for pound and an inch for inch the best basketball player of all time.
Yeah.
I think it's a really compelling argument. I don't know if it's legit or not.
Yeah.
I just think that in a town that really could have loved you the way that they love Dr.
J.
Allen didn't quite achieve that. And I don't know
because
exactly why.
Because it was
why.
During his time. He wasn't fan friendly.
Yeah,
he wasn't
coach
friendly. He wasn't media friendly.
Yeah.
There were things that he could have done.
That whole bad boy thing was his whole thing.
It was his whole thing.
Yeah.
But now you see him, he's kind of like backtracking because now he's back in town and he's trying to do all of that because he wants some of that attention, I think, back.
Yeah. And so, I think he can get it. I think, you know, time, time heals that.
Through the sports people, everybody will embrace him.
Yeah.
Because he is a legend in this, you know, while he's living, he's still a legend in basketball. He just doesn't get mentioned in the names of certain circles. I mean, Charles Barkley was a jerk, bro.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Charles was a jerk when he was here.
Yeah.
You know, and we love him because we're seeing him. He's got so much visibility.
Well, he was charismatic, too. He was a jerk, but he had some panache.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You could have a beer with him. You know, you could buddy up with him or get thrown through a window.
Right. Iverson was, unless you're at TGI Fridays here on City Line, you weren't going to have it.
Right.
But I mean, but that's there. It's funny, though. And you as an entertainer, there is that. And to Nick's point, there is that.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. You can have the ability, but there are certain housekeeping things you need to do if you want that prolonged legend.
Right.
I mean, when you were first entering into entertainment and stand-up, who did you look up to? Who?
The guy who... Cosby was the catalyst for my hunger, but Eddie Murphy was the reason I gave it a shot. Because I always thought comedians had to be like 50 years old before you even started.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, you know, no matter what age you were, Cosby seemed like he was 50. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And it's like, you're exactly
and
right.
And so I said, and when Eddie took off, I was like, yo, he's like my age. And then I got into it, and some people took me to an open mic night, and it was over. You know, I was on my way.
Well, Ralph, people forget how young Eddie Murphy was when he took off.
Yeah, when he got
SNL.
And that was another thing, because I got all his articles and realized this dude was going to clubs at 16.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? You know, so that kind of brought me in. But Philly, and that's another thing about what he was talking about with recognition and how you're perceived. This has been my town forever, you know, and I started here and I still give love to this town, even no matter where I am in the world. But the town, it's one of those towns you're only as hot as we say you are at the time we say it. And, you know, sometimes you want to be recognized for the work you did.
Yeah.
And you never know when that's going to happen. But if you do one thing, it could change everything. And then you're on a parade float. Riding through the city, and it's
Nick Foles,
I've done that.
Nick Foles,
you know?
Yeah.
I've done it, and it's the craziest thing in the world. I'm sure you've done it.
Where yeah.
You do that, and you go, man, they really do. They like me here, you know. So Allen Iverson, you know, it'll be some time.
It's wild because there's a dynamic here that we knew and figured out a while ago, which is you can never act with entitlement.
Right.
You have to earn it. You have to show that you're doing the work and the effort. And then people are so loyal and so supportive that it's crazy.
In a blue collar city, you got to earn that respect. Man.
Yeah.
And then you got to maintain it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to caress it. You know, so, you know, and wear the right jersey on the right day. I took a friend of mine to a Eagles game, and she was a Dallas fan. And she's like, do I wear my jersey? I said, not with me.
Yeah.
You're going to get me beat up in my own city to the game? Are you kidding me? You can sit in a hotel and put that on, but you ain't about to wear that nowhere, you know? And then Dallas would make a play, and she's cheering. I'm like, I'm going to move. I'm really going to move. You crazy? Do you know what section this is? This is the killer section. You got your funeral arranged? What's wrong with you?
Your affairs in order?
Yeah.
You got to watch out.
And then I felt a little water or something wet on my face, and I said, okay, they're throwing stuff, but it was a little bit of rain mist coming down. Thank God, because, girl, you don't want to start this. I said, you better stop cheering. And she started cheering for the Eagles. And then when Dallas would do something, she'd go, yes. Real quiet.
You're in the stands,
you know,
at a game. On, you know, when you first feel something wet, you're like, the first thing you go, you might know that's piss.
She said, they really don't like anybody else here. I said, they like you to shut up. Shut up. Don't come here with that attitude. What's wrong with you?
I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you saw the story about Kevin Hart and his the plane. They land up in, they chartered a plane up to watch the Sixers play.
Kevin
went up
got
in Boston.
It so good right now. He got it so good.
Yeah, he does.
What happened?
But the tires blew out on landing.
Uh-oh.
And so it was like a real come to Jesus piece right here. You do a lot of traveling.
That's a funny picture.
You're all hunched over praying.
Oh, God, that's so sad. You know what? I fly every now and then. I fly Southwest. Like in a few weeks, I got to work in San Antonio.
Don't get a window seat.
I always sit by the exit row and the windows and stuff like that on certain flights. But now I'm older now. I gotta pee every 2 minutes, so I don't. I'm on the aisle now. but that whole experience when that window went out and it sucked a lady and I was like, man. I don't know about fly. I might have to catch on, get a bus or a camper. You know, like an old school,
like John Madden
camper. Yeah. Because I'm getting a little scared, you know, and I'm tired of getting naked at the airport anyway, where you got to take off all your clothes, and
yeah.
I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the process, but it, you know, I don't know. That's a scary thing when it, because you got to really have a pilot. You got to have that pilot that goes, I can do this.
Yeah.
Not the one that goes, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, because yeah. There's two different pilots.
There's two different pilots. It depends on how much money you have.
Like the lady who landed the Southwest, that was a lady.
Yeah.
So thank God, man, that she knew her thing. And I think she was one of the first fighter
pilots.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
She was so cool, calm is that, man? And like collected, and just there was not an ounce of panic in her voice.
I don't want the person who just got certified.
Right.
You know, and they you never were in the military at all? You know? No, my dad had a Cessna, and I always wanted to.
What?
No. Everybody knows Cessnas crash. It's like motorcycles. When you get a motorcycle, they tell you, you're going to crash. And it's like, don't tell me that. They're like, no, everybody does. That's how you get a Cessna. They go, you're going to crash.
Yeah.
And you just got to be okay with it. So those people fly too. Trust me.
I'll tell you what the Cessnas, though, and with these smaller planes, though, they have the ones now that have the full plane parachute packed into it.
Huh?
You've seen these?
No.
There's a style of plane that does have that.
Right. So if you get into it, you get.
That's not a jet.
No,
that's a propeller plane
something. Yeah.
You know, that's come on, man. But that's a great idea. But no.
Yeah.
No. I mean, even the, when you come back in, when you re-enter through space, you know, you're still going so fast that it heats up in there and you could burn. You know?
It's true.
So,
yeah.
So with a plane going down that fast, the idea of a parachute, that ain't going to do me no good. You know, just give me the parachute and tell me, you know, with the countdown.
Yeah,
jump now.
So are you a nervous
flyer? You just scared me just now. Yeah, I got to leave Sunday. You just messed it up. How we get on this count? I didn't know they went through that. I didn't see that. Is that just happened yesterday?
Just happened, So, but
Baltimore. Baltimore's rough, man. Need somebody.
No, it's Boston.
Boston.
They're rough, too. Yep. You know? No, Kevin is the diehard Eagles fan, and he went up there with them Patriots.
Yep.
He's there watching his plane come in.
They shot out the tires.
Did you see him at the Super Bowl trying to get up on stage?
Yeah, oh, that was what the little people think they can go anywhere. You can't just go anywhere you want to go. They can't just get. I'll just go under their arms. They won't even know I'm up there. I'm gonna sit right in the trophy. I love Kevin, man. He's a good guy, and he's doing really, really, really well.
Were you
so
proud of him. Coming along at his time?
No,
as well?
he came up. My brother's actually a stand up as well.
Okay,
and so Kevin was came up at the time my brother came up a little bit after me. But Kevin, you know, Kevin tells people he just told people he's about 40. Kevin's 73 years old.
Yeah.
He's son of a bitch. Really old. Yeah, this hair dye thing, people going crazy. You know, people going crazy. I had to stop. I had to just let my hair go bald because I looked in the mirror and I was like, nobody's going to tell me I got these patches of bald and nothing but dye. Ain't nobody going to say nothing because, you know, you rarely take a mirror and do this on your own head, you know? So I said, let me stop this. This is ridiculous. And one day I just walked away from the dye, and I was like, I'm just going to be this dude. Well, and I look younger now.
You do?
With a bald head. Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
You know who, for Preston always points out that, like, one of the first guys you saw doing it was, like, Michael Jordan.
Or Lou Gossett.
Lou Gossett, too.
Lou Gossett, you watched him, and he said, is he ever going to let his hair grow back?
Yeah.
And he's like, nope. And then he did Roots, and I was like, oh, that's what he would look like with hair. It's a good thing he's bald.
Right.
Yeah, but then when Michael Jordan did it, it was like, it was cool.
Michael made it cool.
You know, and now we all are kind of forced to do it. And you either do it or you don't. I envy people with like all that hair like you got. When I stand in back of somebody in the line, I just want to pull their head back and crack their neck. Like, thank you. Oh, with this head full of hair, man. Nobody think about you. I got hair envy real bad.
Do
man.
You?
If See, I had I don't a head miss full it. Of hair, I'd braid it. I would do a process. I'd do a Richard, like a little Richard thing. I would do every kind of pompadour. I would do every week. I'd have a crazy weird hair because I had a flat top. I had a high top fade for a while.
Did you? Wow.
Man, I had the best one in the city. I used to fly back to Philly from L.A. once a month to get my hair cut right so that the barber in L.A. would follow the guide, you know?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, man.
So you were
yeah.
deadly serious.
Yeah, come on, that flat top, dude. I love my hair.
You know what? Those haircuts, though, such an incredible amount of work to
yes,
maintain them.
With a pick, you got to take your pick, and then you got to make sure all the hairs are right, and then I would take my little clippers and cut the loose stray hairs and everything.
Yeah.
But the back was always weird because I couldn't do the back, and then so, you know, you got to just trust somebody. But I wish I had that.
You miss it?
I just posted a picture, an old picture of my flat top is on my Instagram, and I'm proud of that.
You're getting emotional
a little bit now. You know, I used to have to. I couldn't wear hats.
I
can't believe I'm talking about my hair, but that's, you know.
I'm pretty proud of my hair.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of friends lose. Oh,
look at you found it. Champion award winning right
that's
there,
good.
Baby.
Dude, look
that's
at
what
that
I'm talking about.
High top.
And the first thing people say is kid and play.
Kid
ain't
and play.
No kid and play. I was out there first.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody even know who he was when I had mine.
This is old headshot day
that's
photo.
The old headshot day. Yeah, everybody's
that's
pulled
a good
them out.
One.
That's
yeah.
really good.
My
man.
Barber actually had it. I got rid of all of those, you know, because I was sad. And but my barber, look how high my I got the longest head. My head looks humongous.
Especially from
my eyebrow to my hairline. Look,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
enough of a billboard to put a whole message.
It's a five head.
Five paragraph. You can put Bible verses in there, man. This is crazy.
Do you know what it reminds me of? When I see a cut, and that's a work of art.
What's
the ice cream with the push? With
the push-up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me and Randall Cunningham, we had the same barber. Randall was trying to do it for a while, and then his bird nest started to show up in the middle. And he couldn't pull it off no more. So, yeah, I kept mine as long as I could. And I had a bird nest, too. That was.
So when did you start to get,
I changed it up in 96.
All right.
Because I needed a change. And just because the TV show that I was on ended. And you know, when you break up with somebody, you got to change your
change
look.
Everything. Yep. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I changed. I rounded it off the sides. And then after a while, as I rounded it off, I realized I was thinning. And some gray hairs were in there. And I was like, I got gray hair? You know, so I'm like, I'm 29 with gray hair. I don't want to tell nobody my age, but yeah, I'm there.
You're there, yeah. I think the bald thing, I love
man,
it.
Man, bald is nice until it's cold. Bald, and you walk in a room and you can tell the air conditioning is too cold. You know, just, people, what's wrong with you? Yeah, I'm going to need a hat up in here. But you know. It's all a part of getting older, and somebody should prepare us for this, you know, this older thing. When you know, like, you got to, like, when I get up now, I got to sit on the edge of the bed for a minute and remember why I woke up, you know? And then I remember, I got to pee. That's why I got up, you know? You just can't, like, when you fall, it's not normal. Like I fall, it's like in slow motion on the way to the ground. I'm thinking, did I pay my premium? Oh, my God. This ain't going to be good. I don't want to go to a community, one of them community.
Right, walk-in centers.
Them emergency joints, urgent care. Man, that's the worst.
Yeah.
So like those things, you know, when I hit my leg on stuff, I know it's going to be a year. I'm going to feel that for a year. You know, I used to, you know, when you're 25, you bounce back up. I fail. Y'all see that? Not me. No, man. I'm thinking this is going to be bad.
This is
I'm
going
to have to cancel some shows.
I sprained my ankle. When were we in Clearwater?
Sprained your ankle.
I sprained my ankle. It still hurts.
See?
It's still
in Clearwater 3 years ago. And your ankle still hurts. Wait, no, the worst one is when you step off a sidewalk and you had that thing go up your back. I go, this is just a sidewalk, Ralph. You know, and I feel it all the way up the back of my body. Like, what did I didn't even step wrong. I stepped toe down first.
It's the worst. You know? It's the worst.
I can't jump off of nothing, man. I saw a guy yesterday jump off the back of his pickup truck, and when he hit the ground, I felt that feeling in my back. I was like, you know, I never used to be like that. Like, I was on a roller coaster. I did a Six Flags thing and got on the wood roller coaster. I'm like, I love these.
They're great.
But it was so rickety. Oh, my back, everything in my body. I was like, I'm going to have to put Bengay on for the rest of the day just to get through the rest of the day. I got front of the line passes because my bladder won't allow me to stand in a 3-hour line. I can't do that. You know, when you're in that little turnstile, people hate when you come back the other way.
Oh, they do, yeah.
They hate that. So, you know, I literally got to go, no, I'm going to go ahead and pay this other $4,000 just to get on the ride in 6 minutes because I'm you know, and the ride takes 30 seconds and I pay $4,000 to do, but it's worth it. I'm too old for that.
Are you one of these coaster junkies who finds out that, because a lot of times you develop a motion sickness?
No, I don't get that yet.
You don't get that yet.
Don't let me get that. Because I ride with people. You never ride with somebody in the car and they got motion sickness? Can we stop for a while? No. I'm going to North Carolina. What are you doing? You know, then I just need to get out and get my head right. It's like, you shouldn't ride with me. I get 17 stops to get to Maryland from Philly. That don't make no sense.
Right.
They got to constantly get out. Like, I had a person who couldn't look down. Like, they had to be looking at the road, and they couldn't look down. I was like, this relationship ain't going to work.
it's annoying as hell.
Come on, man. You can't even take a nap in the car. Come on.
That's tough. That's tough.
No.
Hey, Ralph, I had read that you were a fan of the movie Black Panther that came out.
Oh, yeah, man. Wakanda forever, baby.
Awesome,
man.
Yes, did you see Infinity War yet?
No, I did. You know what? I think that, I don't know. I think if they're trying to trick us. They're trying to trick us because, see, it's a whole lot of Black Panther fans that weren't Marvel fans. You got to really be a Marvel geek to just dig all of them. But Black Panther fans are getting tricked because they're going and realizing, wait, what? Who got killed? Wait. And so I don't know if I want to have that feeling.
All right, so you just jumped in at Black Panther. You didn't know.
No,
all
I've been
the other
watching
stuff?
Marvel, okay. But some of them I let go. Some of them. Captain America was one I was like, I didn't really grow up in Captain America. I can't. Thor, I could do Thor, but Captain America,
I'm a fanatic. We're all fanatics for all of it.
And I'm big on Hulk. It depends on the character. Yeah. Okay. Iron Man, I like Iron Man because, you know, he's a jerk. But I don't know. What was your question? Do you have a question?
I was just going to... We love talking about this stuff.
The
movies are just huge.
I just think that we're to the point where we need that sensation. And Marvel provides it in a major way. You know, I tried to follow DC, you know, their stuff. I can't do Legions of Doom?
Justice League.
See what Suicide I did
Squad.
To the name?
Yeah.
Legions of Doom. I call them
sure.
The Justice League, I like Wonder Woman. I love the whole idea that they brought it out, but I was just like, I don't know. This is weird.
Wonder Woman
ain't never been that cool. You know, and then when they had Batman fighting Superman, I was like, who does that?
See, Batman is my favorite of all time.
I like Batman, but Heath Ledger Batman.
So you like the Christian Bale movie. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, and we've talked about this before, DC was late to the dance. They weren't cultivating they just were doing Batman or Superman. No.
Stan Lee was sitting back with his bong going, let me tell you about this idea. Let me put a little more water in this thing.
It's a richer world.
And when I saw Hulk... was Thor's brother,
Loki.
Yeah. When I saw him slam him like that, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
I was like, I could leave the theater now. I don't even. And then I just saw the Thor run the Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Yep, that's it.
I saw that, and I saw that he did it, and Loki was happy to see him do that to. I saw that he was happy to do that. And then it was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I fell in like a kid.
Well, you'll like Infinity War because Wakanda plays a big part in it, and so does Black Panther. So.
Yeah, but
don't.
What? Yeah. There's some spoilers in there.
Don't worry. I would tell you this, whatever you see in that movie, be aware that time is malleable.
That's what I do know, because even the books, even the comic strip shows, you know, that everybody can have 2 and 3 and 7 lives.
And I'll tell you this, the thing that almost always guarantees your eternal existence is a lucrative franchise.
Hey, that's true. You start losing money. Yeah. Like, you know this is the last one, right? You know this is your last one. Uh-huh. You have another job after you leave here?
I'm pretty sure Chadwick Boseman has a 6-picture deal with Marvel, he'll be back one way.
Ain't going anywhere.
Man, I want to be in one of them films so bad. I actually do a lot of voiceover auditions. commissions for animation now.
Mm-hmm. You digging that?
Yeah. So as soon as I nab one, you can forget it. I'm not coming. My doctor will be in L.A. from then on.
We're never going to see your ass again. Yeah. I tell you what, though, those are great. I mean, you look at the Simpsons folks, man. For Christ, we just had Harry Shearer on playing. Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap. And what better gig?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know?
I got a friend who, Cree Summer, who used to be on A Different World. She does 27 characters different things. Yeah,
that's 20, great.
I just saw her the other day. I said, hey, I need some advice. She says, well, what can I do for you? And then I was like, girl, you do all the voices. You know, make a phone call for me. So she said, call her when I get back in town. So we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. Yeah, man. But for now, you're in the city. And you're,
I'm here making my folks laugh. And it's really cool because I get to see my mom, you know, come home and be with family for a little while.
That's great. Excellent.
Yeah.
So Ralph's going to be playing at Punchline tonight and tomorrow as well. So tickets are available. And one show tonight. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Two shows tomorrow. See, this is all wrong. It says two shows tomorrow and Saturday.
Yeah, two shows Friday and Saturday.
2 days Friday and Saturday. Okay. Yeah. 7:30 and 10 o'clock. So you can get those tickets through Punchline. And make sure you go see him while he's here. PunchlinePhilly.com. Ralph, it's good to see you, man.
I can't thank you enough, man, for having me back. And I love this show. And I retweet your stuff all the time.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
I really do appreciate it. Y'all family to me, man.
Anytime, Ralph.
Nobody say by how we look.
Good to have you here. Ralph Harris, gang. Back home in Philly. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
WMMR and A&T Chevy present MMR's Birthday Bucks.
I just won $1,000 from WMMR.
How about that? I just called to congratulate you on winning $1,000.
Thank you very much. I'll take it.
This is your shot to win $1,000 cash. 5 times a day at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. You'll hear that hour's keyword and simply text it to the special contest text number 40772. One random texter wins $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks, sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville, the Chevy dealer you can trust. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Several things going on I want to mention. Number one, tomorrow is National Hoagie Day, and Primo Hoagies are here this morning, celebrating with $5.99 Primo-sized Italian turkey and cheese or ham and cheese hoagies all day. For rewards members, you can go to PrimoHoagies.com for details. I have a $50 gift card for caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR, so we will do that for you right now.
Shout out to my Roxboro Primo, which is on our ridge, and they are wonderful over there. They brought the food in today.
And then another thing that's going on is Casey has two ticket raids this weekend, a chance for you to win MMRBQ tickets. And we're running out of time on these ticket raids, so you want to get out to one today. He will be at the Metro PCS in Browns Mills, New Jersey, and that's located at 18 Broadway Street, and that'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. So if you want to stop by, hang out for a little bit, meet Casey. About every 10 minutes, he's going to give away tickets, and you'll also qualify to meet Stone Temple Pilots.
Whoa!
So not only
that's very cool.
Not only win tickets, but you can qualify to meet STP. And then tomorrow, Casey will be at the Metro PCS in Northeast Philly on Cottman Avenue. It's 2201 Cottman, and that's from 4 to 6 p.m. as well. Same deal. Tickets every 10 minutes, and you can qualify to meet Stone Temple Pilots. I feel like Brenda Vaccaro, Steve.
Yeah.
Every time I breathe in, you guys hear that?
Requires estrogen.
There was an actress named Brenda Vaccaro who used to do these commercials on TV.
Very throaty.
And every time she would inhale, it would be like that. And
does it hurt when you breathe?
No, it just feels weird.
Yeah.
Feels
like your throat's feeling better?
Feels like I have a brick in my lungs. Throat is a little sore, but it's because I've been talking all morning.
By the way, do you remember? Here's a fun fact. Brenda Vaccaro was Michael Douglas, his girlfriend, for a number of years.
No, I did not know
that.
Wow.
Little fun fact about Brenda Vaccaro.
And then I want to mention that Casey is receiving an award from the Delaware County Bar Association today. It's Law Day today, apparently. And Casey is receiving the Liberty Bell Award.
How about that?
It's the Young Lawyers section of the Delaware County Bar Association. They recognize an individual who is not a lawyer or a judge for his or her outstanding community service
an individual whose activities promote the spirit of our Constitution.
That's amazing.
How about that?
Yeah.
So he was all gussied up. He got all dressed up. He wore his best sweatpants ever.
Yes. And all ironed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he gets an official honorary law degree, correct?
Of course. Yes. So he's headed over there right now. So, Casey, we're very proud of you. And that's a very cool thing. Nick, you've got an event today, too.
I do. First Friday begins tonight. And so a lot of towns do First Fridays. Phoenixville is among them. And so I'll be there from 6:30 to 8:30 tonight. I love doing the First Fridays in Phoenixville. It's a great time. Pretty much every restaurant that's in town opens up its doors, a lot of great bars. And we will be at the corner of Bridge and Main. So stop by the MM Army. We'll be there with prizes to give away. There's usually some great live music. So I think the weather's going to be okay.
Yeah.
6:30 to 8:30, Bridge and Main in the town of Phoenixville tonight.
All right. Excellent. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A young mother obsessed with murder and male sacrifice who stabbed her on-and-off boyfriend 5 times with a kitchen knife while dressed in clown makeup has been jailed for 11 and a half years.
Why?
This is in the UK. Court heard Zoe.
Their rules are a little stricter.
Zoe Adams, who was 19, put a pillow over Kieran Bewick's head to make sex kinkier, and only to stab him with a 10-inch blade.
The old bait and switch.
She admitted stabbing Mr. Bewick and causing him grievous bodily harm.
That when Rochelle asked to put a pillowcase over your face, do you go with it or do you not do it out of fear of being stabbed?
No, I have a pretty even trust with
okay,
her, so
yeah.
I don't have to worry about that happening. But she told a trial of an issue that she had no memory of the stabbing and claimed that it was an overreaction after the teenager started kissing her against her will.
Wow.
The case came to court because of the vast differences between Adams and Mr. Bewick's accounts of the incident, and Judge James Atkin decided that the victim was telling the truth. He branded her cruel and sadistic. While the court also heard disturbing images were found on her iPhone, including one of a blood-covered woman with the caption saying, "Murder is like a bag of chips. You can't stop after just one."
Well, looking at her picture here, she definitely has the look of an insane person.
Yeah. The judge said Adams planned to attack by taking both a knife and duct tape to his bedroom.
Jeez.
Adams dressed up as a clown and cuddled Mr. Bewick in bed, claiming that her appearance was a joke because the teenager was afraid of clowns.
That's pretty funny. She still has her old sense of humor.
She told the court her next memory was of him standing before her, seriously injured, and asking why she stabbed him.
I don't know.
She's going to jail for 11 and a half years. A Lewis County judge jumped into action to stop an attack in his courtroom, and microphones captured it all. The incident came just months after a scathing report on courtroom safety statewide. District Court Judge R.W. Buzzard sat inside the Lewis County Courthouse on the bench listening to a motion until a 63-year-old man took exception to his ruling. Said, "I ruled against him." And he turned and he hit the attorney behind the left ear and in the back of the head.
Wow.
Without any forewarning. And I left the bench and I restrained him. So the judge restrained
him. The judge jumped across and took action. It's usually the bailiff that steps in.
Before the assault, microphones captured Buzzard saying, "I'll enter the judgment against you. So here's what can happen." The defendant replies, boom. And then he hit the guy. And the next sound is a sudden movement and a woman screaming. Buzzard said he immediately left the bench and did not hesitate. He said, "Absolutely not, because somebody in the courtroom was being attacked, and I didn't know what this individual's intentions were, and the safety of everyone in the courtroom was an issue at that point, and it was supposed to be a civil proceeding."
He's like Super Judge.
Buzzard said in his 14 years on the bench, no one has ever gotten violent in his courtroom. He may just have been lucky. Let's see. In Florida, Ricky Coburg Pereiro said in a Facebook post that she and her husband heard loud noises that prompted them to investigate the outside of their home when they found 2 bears lurking outside their garage and a 3rd bear closed inside of the family's SUV, which was parked in the driveway.
Uh-huh.
So 3 of them all together and 1 found its way into their SUV.
We were arguing over who was going to ride shotgun.
Seminole County Sheriff's deputies and Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officers responded to the home. An officer opened the vehicle's door and released the bear after the animal had trashed the inside of it for 30 minutes.
Thank you.
So it apparently ripped the car inside and out.
So the other two bears were just kind of waiting?
I guess so.
And where was this?
This is in Florida.
I didn't know there was a big bear problem.
I've been shocked too, Nick. There is a fairly sizable bear population in Florida. Yeah. Now they're more tan.
Pereira says that the vehicle is a total loss. All right, and then one more story. The paintball wars of Milwaukee.
Yes.
Milwaukee police officers have responded to 65 reports of people, including two postal workers, being hit by paintballs in the past 5 days throughout the city. That's a lot, man. 65?
That's a lot. When the paintball guns first came out, there was a rash of this stuff, but this seems like a throwback.
The most recent incident occurred Monday afternoon when a man was walking with his caretaker and was hit in the face by a paintball during a drive-by-style shooting on the city's east side.
That hurt.
Police officials believe the paintball shooting stemmed from postings on social media. The trend actually began with influential hip-hop artists, in particular Atlanta rapper 21 Savage, who called for people to put down real guns and pick up paintball guns instead.
Ah, he's a genius.
So far, no one has been seriously injured, but paintballs can travel up to 300 feet per second.
They can hurt like a bastard.
It doesn't appear to be just one group. Multiple groups of young people, ages 20 and younger, have been seen shooting paintball guns from several vehicles. One person was arrested over the weekend and told investigators that it was, quote, a social media thing with multiple groups spread citywide.
The social media. Do you remember how many times we shot or had other people shoot other people with bare skin?
Oh yeah,
and paintballs.
Oh my God, yeah.
The welts, the blood.
Yeah,
we stopped doing that.
We did stop doing that eventually. But yeah, Kathy, and they would bleed. Absolutely.
Now, mind you, it was funny, but we realized we had probably gone too far.
Similar paintball incidents have been reported across the country, by the way. So this is is the thing, and it's happening. And that is what I have in the B file for you this morning. Yeah, Marissa, when we come back, we're going to play brand new music from Alice in Chains. This just dropped this morning.
Wow.
And obviously, they're coming to town. They're actually going to be wrapping up their tour at the MMRBQ. So they're going to be quite excited about that show.
That's
going to be
very cool. Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side of these commercials, and we will get, I haven't heard it yet. None of us have heard it. We will give you brand new music from Alice in Chains. Stand by.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Royal Blood. Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats. Tom Kiefer featuring Lizzie Hale.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
93.3 WMMR. Brand new from Alice in Chains. The One You Know. That's got some pulse to it.
Yeah.
Not what the record people say, not a one-listen record.
No.
At least for me.
But to me, that's Alice in Chains.
I like the guitar solo.
Yeah.
The unmistakable harmonies, of course, as well. And as one person had texted in, it says, that made my pee-pee tingle.
Wow.
So it did something special for that person.
All right.
But brand new from Alice in Chains, The One You Know. They're going to be at the MMRBQ coming up May 19th, Saturday. That's just a couple weeks away.
Wow.
Amazing. Have you gotten your tickets yet? I hope so. WMMR.com for all the details. I'll get you more on that in music news as far as the new music from Alice in Chains goes. But in the meantime, we're going to do the lesson question. And today, giving away a pair of tickets for a night of interactive comedy with Colin Mockery.
I was getting ready.
Wow. Wow.
Marissa's filling in for Casey. And so she's got the sound effect page at her fingertips. Anyway, we're going to give away tickets for Colin Mockery and Brian Sherwood tonight. And they're from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And they're going to be at the Excite Center at Parks Casino. So the question I have for you this morning is, who's going to play Boss Hogg in the new season of The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Who plays Boss Hogg on this season or the new season of The Handmaid's Tale? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you were listening. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Godshall's Turkey Bacon, the real wood-smoked turkey bacon. Only Godshall's packs this much flavor to 94% fat-free and made at facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. Godshall's Bacon. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Kate Winslet saying it makes her uncomfortable when women show too much flesh on the red carpet. Winslet says she knows of what she speaks, having rocketed to fame in the movie Titanic, where she showed her own red carpet.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle's estranged brother writing a scathing letter to Prince Harry in which he says marrying his sister would be, quote, the biggest mistake in royal history. Thomas Markle says his sister has become self-centered and selfish since getting engaged and has refused his request to make him headmaster of Hogwarts.
Oh, my God.
And finally, according to Radar Online, 68-year-old Caitlyn Jenner reportedly planning to marry 21-year-old transgender girlfriend Sophia Hutchins. With the age difference, people always ask what we talk about, says Caitlin, adding, well, for starters, having our penises cut off.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Who plays Boss Hogg on this season of The Handmaid's Tale? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Ryan, see if Ryan knows the answer. Hey, Ryan, good morning. Ryan?
Oh, you mean Brian?
Oh, Brian. Close enough. So, Brian, who's going to be playing Boss Hogg on The Handmaid's Tale?
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch.
All right. Hang on there, buddy boy. We're going to set you up
with some tickets for a night of interactive comedy with comedians Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood from Drew Carey's improv TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway? That is one night only, tonight, 8 p.m. at the new Excite Center at Parks Casino, parkscasino.com. For tickets, you have to be at least 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What the fuck is this?
And Music News this morning brought to you by Astrew, South Jersey's sports specialty retailer. Visit them in Marlton or online at AISTRIU.com. So we'll begin with Alice in Chains, the brand new song that we just played. The One You Know was just released this morning along with a video. The track is the first new music issued from Alice in Chains' upcoming sixth full-length studio LP, which is due out later this year. It's going to follow up 2013's The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here. The basic tracks for the new disc were laid down at Studio X in Seattle. That marks the first time that Alice in Chains has recorded in its hometown in more than 20 years. Part of the recording was also done at Henson Studios in Los Angeles. Jerry Cantrell called the disc an effing strong record in a recent interview with Guitar World. Alice in Chains is currently on a short spring tour that brings the band to Concord, North Carolina today. And then they are going to finish up their trek at the MMRBQ on May 19th.
That's pretty wild that they're wrapping up everything with our concert.
Yep, they should be well-seasoned and ready to play.
Or disgruntled and pissed off.
I think they'll be ready to go. So Guns N' Roses will release a deluxe edition of its classic 1987 debut album, Appetite for Destruction, on June 29th. The announcement release and speculation about the band plans that began earlier this week with the launch of a new website, GNR.fm, as well as a billboard in London that featured the cover art from the LP. An unboxing video for the package has revealed that it will include 73 songs, along with 49 tracks that have never before been released.
49?
Yeah.
That's too many.
Spread out across four CDs and seven 12-inch 180-gram vinyl LPs. I have no idea if these are, you know, alternate versions of songs or anything like that, but it just says 49 tracks that have never before been released.
We have one of them. You guys want to take a listen?
I would like to hear a little bit. Do you know the title of this?
This is called Shadow of Your Love.
All right, let's hear a little bit of this.
It's not playing.
And it's dead. Okay.
Loosen up, guys.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's solid Guns N' Roses. Yeah.
All right, very interesting, man.
I did not realize they still had that in them.
That's pretty cool. Well,
so this is new.
That's old.
It's old. Okay.
Yeah. This is from the GB.
I'm confused now.
No, these are songs from the sessions for Appetite for Destruction.
It's new old music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can't find any details about that, but on the new release will be a unheard work in progress recording attempt of November Rain, and a cover of Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Aerosmith, too. So a whole bunch of covers.
So that was old. So this is new old stuff that never made it to air.
Yeah, this is unreleased stuff.
Damn it.
So in addition to a remastered version of the original album, the set will contain the 1986 Live at Like a Suicide EP, a second EP containing B-sides from that era, 25 previously unreleased recordings from the band's 1986 sessions at Sound City Studios, and two previously unreleased tracks from the recording session. So that's probably what that came from. A super deluxe version will also include a 96-page hand-bound book with unreleased photos from Axl Rose's personal archive, 12 new lithographs visualizing each song from the original LP and replica memorabilia.
It's a ton of crap. How much does that go for?
How much would you expect to pay for this amazing package?
$5,000,
you know what?
Frankly.
Steve, I don't know.
It includes a bowling ball, too.
It should.
Yeah.
I don't have any information on what this will set you back, but I would imagine it ain't cheap.
No. Like, for example, if they're trying to mimic the Gene Simmons thing, I think the lowest tier version of that vault, that collection that he was putting out, was like $2,500.
Yeah, not really sure. So, anyhow, that means some new, unheard, not necessarily new, but unheard Guns N' Roses music. The 33rd Annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony airs this Saturday on HBO, so it'll be on tomorrow. The event took place April 14th at Cleveland's Public Auditorium, with the class of 2018 consisting of Bon Jovi, the Moody Blues, the Cars, Dire Straits, Nina Simone, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and, of course, there were some new categories that they had this year as well. The 2018 inductors for the ceremony were Ann Wilson for the Moody Blues, Howard Stern for Bon Jovi, The Killers, Brandon Flowers for the Cars, Mary J. Blige for Nina Simone, Alabama Shakes, Brittany Howard for Sister Rosetta Tharpe. So if you've been waiting to see that, it's on this weekend.
I'm going to check it out. I always enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm always happy with it. And a couple of ticket raids for the MMRBQ. I'll hit this one more time. Casey has one today from 4 to 6 p.m. He will be at the Metro PCS, 18 Broadway Street, Browns Mills, New Jersey. You can win tickets every 10 minutes and qualify to meet Stone Temple Pilots. And then tomorrow, he will be at the Metro PCS, 2201 Cottman Avenue in the Great Northeast, from 4 to 6 p.m. as well. And same thing, win tickets every 10 minutes, qualify to meet Stone Temple Pilots. And then this weekend on MMR, 1987 is the year that we're going to be celebrating. That was a great year. A lot of great music. Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, U2, NXS, Motley Crue, Aerosmith, Whitesnake. They all had new records out that year, many, many more. We'll be playing those songs all weekend. And, of course, reminding you of the pop culture and historical events that took place. That's when Legend of Zelda took off.
Legend of Zelda.
Flyers landed in the Stanley Cup Finals.
My dad took me to Game 3 at the Spectrum of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Flyers won that game. They lost Game 4, went back to Edmonton down 3-1, won Game 5 in Edmonton, won Game 6 back here in Philly, and then lost Game 7.
Wow. That was the Lincoln-Douglas debate took place.
That was in the 1860s.
Yeah. Oh. All right, so anyhow, 1987 this weekend on WMMR. As we take a break, let me give away my last $50 gift card to Primo Hoagies. Our friends from Primo are here this morning. Trays of hoagies to promote National Hoagie Day tomorrow.
I heard that.
I know.
It sounded like a panther purr.
It's very hard.
Yeah, you've been making a lot of noises today.
I know. I'm trying.
Listen.
You're almost
one
there.
More just have just this. A little bit more, and then you can go home and blow snot all over the house.
Pass out is what I'm going to do. They're offering $5.99 Primo size Italian turkey and cheese.
You can go home and pet your horse.
Turkey and cheese or ham and cheese hoagies all day. For rewards members, visit Primo. It was an inhale. It was like this.
Oh, God.
Visit PrimoHoagies.com for details. So let's take caller number 20, and I'll give that to you.
You know the number. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with
us. Steve, Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All over you from live 93.3 WMMR. It's 10:23. Friday morning, Preston and Steve show. We're not done yet. Not before we give some big prizes away. We'll do that with the Word of the Week prize in a moment. Get yourself prepared for that if you've been playing along. One more letter to go. Some thank yous, though. I would like to thank our friends from Primo Hoagies for coming by, celebrating National Hoagie Day, which is tomorrow.
And, wonderful.
All the sandwiches that they had for our guests and also the giveaways they gave us. And you can go to PrimoHoagies.com tomorrow. Like I said, National Hoagie Day, and they're celebrating $5.99 Primo size Italian turkey or ham. I'm sorry, Italian turkey or ham and cheese hoagies all day for rewards members. Thanks also to Ralph Harris.
Yeah.
Ralph's awesome, man.
Great guy.
He loves coming back here to Philly, his hometown. And he's at Punchline tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 p.m. PunchlinePhilly.com to get the tickets. Also, thank you to Beth Stelling.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And Beth is performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and at 10. So you got choices here. You got options. You can go see one on Friday night and one on Saturday night.
Why the hell and not?
Both of those, heliumcomedy.com to get those tickets. I do see a hairy silhouette outside of the door.
I'm coming.
We have to get the letter of the day from him. And he's taking his time to get in here. So, but he and Pancake are having a discussion as he makes his way in.
It's a late night. I can only imagine.
I know it was a late night. Hell of a night last night, right, man?
Wow. What a night.
Yeah.
What a blanket night.
Yeah. Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night.
What do you need, man?
Well, nice talking to you.
Thank you. Oh, we can.
Okay.
We'll get you some sugar.
We'll get
to that in a little bit.
I need coffee.
I'll replenish you.
Sweetheart, we got two sugars left. They're all yours.
Thank you. I'll gladly pay you Monday.
Okay.
Sugar today.
Alrighty. Okay. You better, because you're going to come in here Monday and be disappointed that you don't have any sugar.
All right. I'll take care of it. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. Hi, Brenda Vaccaro.
I am Brenda Vaccaro, and I'm proud of it.
There you go. Right. He's preparing his coffee. Everything will be right with the world, Preston, in a minute. So,
Are you feeling better, first of all?
Not much, no.
Okay. Well, you look fine, and you sounded fine.
Thank you. I'm faking it really well.
I've been enjoying your noises, too.
So. Oh, man.
I actually really didn't hear any of your noises.
I'm full of all kinds of bizarre sounds today. Just gargling and
you're gonna go home.
Sloshing and
you're
purring.
Purring and
whinnying.
All kinds of weird things.
Nothing
going.
Like when Preston purrs. it's the purring, Preston.
We played the clip of you talking to John yesterday, which was very
you did?
Cool.
Yes. Yep. It's wonderful.
Well, I'm overwhelmed with what we've experienced in the last week at this radio station. You know, 50 years of music, 50 years of this connection and friendship with our listeners, and 50 years of just this wonderful vibe that listeners have allowed us to stay on the air, and just amazing.
Yes.
And then
could not have gone any better yesterday.
Well, last night, you know, I mean, this John doesn't need any radio station anymore. He's one of the few, though, that remembers people that were there in the early days. And, you know, MMR was, and MMR, actually YSP was the very first one to play them, but they never really stayed with it.
Yeah.
We played them a little bit, very shortly thereafter, but we stayed with them and have this whole time, and he's not forgotten that. And, you know, so they didn't have to, you know, say, yeah, we want to be part of the birthday party, number one. He doesn't do interviews before shows, number two. Number three, he doesn't do shout outs to radio stations, not once, but twice. And then a third one to me during the encore, right before Wanted, Dead or Alive, he, you know, he says, and again, happy 50th birthday to MMR.
That's so cool.
It's just unbelievable, Steve. I mean, just blanking. Unbelievable.
The fact that he allowed Bill Weston to yank his ear monitors out.
We found out why he doesn't take pictures before shows now.
I mean, here he is, a major artist, allowing a local PD to rip the ear monitors out of his ears.
Yeah, I mean, and Bill is going to put that in his Hall of Fame moments.
Because
there we are, a good portion of the staff. They don't do pictures before going to the show.
And now we know why.
We wonder why.
But I mean, they, you know, they will do pictures after shows and sometimes, but never usually the whole band. We had the entire band running out of the dressing rooms to where our staff was gathered, and we did the happy snap, as Kevin calls them, and then John is walking away, and the Spinal Tap moment. It wasn't, to Bill's defense, it wasn't anybody's fault.
No, it's a complete accident.
But somehow, John, they all have these little wireless back things in their pocket.
Right.
They're called in-ears in the business, and they're little like hearing aids, but it's how the band hears themselves instead of the old wedge monitors that bands used to use. And so each band member can get their own personal mix. But both ears are plugged, and so they're running out to do the photo, and the little, it looks like an old Walkman, is in their back pockets, almost all of them. And you can see the wiring. It goes through the back of their shirt and up into their ear. And they're turning to walk away, and the little white wire coming out of John's back pocket catches and on Bill's belt buckle. And it was a Spinal Tap a moment, as one could. And then he had to stop, and his guy had to rewire them as they're walking towards the stage as the lights are coming down. It was quite a moment.
Well, in a happier note, were you sitting right to the left of the stage?
If you were looking at the stage, I was to the left. Okay. I always get confused what stage left or stage right is.
Well, the only reason I ask is because when John was shouting out to you, he didn't just shout it out to the audience. He walked over to you, and he saw you, and he pointed at you in the audience. He was talking to you in front of 20,000 people. Like, that's how much he loves you and loves WMMR, and that's just incredible.
Yeah.
Who was that guy who yanked my ear monitors out? Don't leave without giving me his name, because Jesus Christ.
It's going to be like the Eddie Vedder with Nick. It's going to be the... Is that Bill Weston?
I heard about that guy. Live and local, but... Get some idiot working for him.
Did you meet up
it
with
was,
him?
Bill would not. It's one of those happenstance things.
Complete that freak and I'm, accident.
Yes.
And he tried to help, and that made, it worse.
Made it worse.
But I was talking to our
Don't
boss's boss.
Don't touch me.
Well, I was talking to Joe Bell, and I was talking to Casey about it, too. This story is so much better because it happened to Bill. If it had happened to anybody else, it would not have been as an entertaining a story. But because and Bill, God love him, he's like, yep, go ahead, tell the story. Yeah. You know, he threw himself under the bus. For entertainment
this
purposes.
One's the left ear. Don't touch me.
Who is that guy?
What, he was talking about. He was trying to give John tips on the stool and how many spokes you're supposed to have and legs of the stool. So when he does the acoustic numbers, he knows which stool to sit on.
Poor Bill.
And in the process, no, God bless Bill.
Bill
has been incredible through this whole process because he's program directors are like conductors of the orchestra.
Sure, sure. And everything pulls together.
He's, conducted this 50th celebration in incredible fashion and allowed a lot of these amazing things and campaigned for them to happen. So,
and as we've said, we have another major step coming up with the celebration, the barbecue.
The party is really just beginning.
Yeah.
And we have other concerts, 50th anniversary concerts, and who knows how many more birthday parties before the year is over. So it really has just begun. But this phase of it, going through the birthday last Sunday and then the concert last night, the actual birthday party, is transformative and absolutely mind-blowing. So we can't ever thank Bon Jovi enough. Yep. They didn't need to do any of what they did, and they did.
That's awesome. Excellent.
Cool.
Glad it went well. All right, we got some people waiting for a prize that we're going to give away. We need the letter. You ready, man?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
E as in every day.
All right, E, and we'll take caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR to take a crack at this. So 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the word. Do you happen to meet up with those guys after the show at all, or did they get out of there?
I know they were hanging for a while, but I wanted to go on with Jackie afterwards and say hi to people as they were leaving, and that took another hour after the show for our after-concert coverage, and when I went back downstairs, they had left.
They'd taken off, yeah.
Yeah, but...
got to go get my earpiece fixed.
Yeah. They had to drive.
Get a new mold made.
Made. Had to drive to Lancaster. And they only had...
There's one guy there that does it perfectly.
Old Volkswagen van to get them there. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And that you were there for the after, the departure. It's always part of your deal. And it was very cool to hear that.
Well, yeah, and I'm so sorry. I meant to get over to the suite, and it got so crazy at our booth.
We were holding down the fort, and everyone was having a phenomenal time. And I think there were maybe one or two people in there who had been in a suite before. So for everyone else, it was a brand new experience. Oh, cool. They were having an awesome time.
The suite is like traveling first class in an airplane. You know, you get your own bathroom, you get your own bar.
A lot of water.
A lot more rooms.
Yes.
And water.
Water on tap.
It's so good that there was water there because
water flowing like it was on tap.
Yeah. I mean, it was free.
There's
technically
two sinks.
Yeah, two sinks.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, well, that's what we do around here.
In all fairness, there was more than pizza. There was the whole, they had the chicken fingers and everything. Cool. I loved it.
Chicken fingers, too.
Chicken fingers. Yes, it was good. It is. That's how we roll.
What's on your fine radio program today?
We'll have birthday bucks at 11 and 1. We will have a block of the year of 1987, because that's the year we're going to celebrate this weekend. And we'll have some flashbacks of the show last night, obviously. And we'll get to, I think we're going to get to a rock'em sock'em block of Motley Crue, because Mick Mars' birthday is today. So all of that is on the way, and vinyl cut and other such things, and continuing the celebration.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer. We're trying to find our word of the week, and I'm going to go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Jeff, let's see if you have the word. Tell it to Pierre, and he'll indicate whether or not you have the word of the week. What is it?
The word is Steve.
Gadzooks!
Yes! Oh! Well done! All right, Jeff, since you got that right, you have this awesome MMR 50th birthday prize pack hookup. We're not only going to give you a pair of tickets to the MMRBU 2018, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow, but free admission to MMR's Mother's Day, a four-pack of tickets to Pierre Presents, Nathaniel Rateliff, and the Night Sweats, a four-pack of tickets to the WMMR Birthday Beer Bash, cheers to 50 years, and $100 to spend in the MMR Rock Shop. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
All right,
that's
hang on.
A lot.
Yeah, it's a bunch of MMR love.
It's amazing.
One second. And details of these events can be found at WMMR.com, by the way.
Just one quick shout-out. A gentleman came up to the booth and had made rings for various members of the staff. And so he gave me this ring that says 93.3 WMMR Rocks 50.
Wow.
And he made it. And he has more of them coming
for
us.
Cool looking.
Yes.
You
really
are now
cool.
An intergalactic lantern.
Yes, I am. I am Intergalactic Lantern, not Green Lantern.
Yes.
I'm Boys in Blue Lantern.
Those really cool retro shirts are only available till Sunday.
Oh,
so
really?
If you go to the Rock Shop, you can get the old logos, and it's a flash sale, so only till this Sunday.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Get them ASAP. All right, I got to take this moment to thank our sponsors. My squeaky mic and my purring lungs. I got to say thank you to Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And also Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Nick, you're out tonight. You want to mention that again real quick?
Sure, man. Yeah, First Fridays, which is a great time. It's in Phoenixville, 6:30 to 8:30 tonight. And that will be at the corner of Bridge and Main. A lot of the restaurants in Phoenixville open up their doors. It's a really good time. So 6:30 to 8:30 tonight, First Friday in Phoenixville.
All right, next week on the President Steve Show, the band Dorothy in studio.
Ooh.
They'll be performing here. And, of course, they'll be at the MM Barbecue. Our buddy Joe Matarese will be joining us. And we will have the hosts of American Ninja Warrior, Akbar and Matt, are stopping by next week.
Ah, cool.
Be pretty cool. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. And we will see you on Monday, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
John, this is Bill. I just wanted to say I'm very, very sorry for what happened last night. And you did a great job, and I know, I'm a dickhead. Have a good day. And remember, privilege.
Next message.
Awesome, buddy.
Shelby Show. Happy 50th, MMR. We love you.
Next message.
Hey, Nicole. It's Matt. I just wanted to apologize. You know, we got in the fight where I called you a gold digger. But I'm sorry, I found your profile on a sugar daddy site. I must have been mistaken. I didn't know you enjoyed hairy, saggy balls over young studs. Enjoy your life. Hope you like STDs. Bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.